and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Man, here we are. Here we are, Riley. It's another morning at the Republican National Convention, and it's dead here. It's
the last morning at the Republican National.
You know what a lot of people aren't saying? It's just, you know, how disappointing a convention this has been. You know what I mean? Because I, you know, maybe I'm coming from the wrong side of it, but clearly this has been unelectric, boring, you know, singular messages. You know, and I just want to say hi again. I'd like to say hi to all the geniuses, and of course the faint-hearted, self-indulgent, sensitive liberals that are out there, you know, in honor of Zell Miller's speech and the labels he threw on people. I want to welcome all the faint-hearted, self-indulgent people out there because they are our people, Mark.
I think Zell Miller could well be, although we haven't taken the final tally yet, he could be the dog of the week.
This has been a celebration of fear here at Madison Square Garden. You see all different faces, all the different faces of defensiveness, fear, awe,
and Lane. Don't forget Lane.
Dick Cheney last night was, like, completely uninspired, completely walking through it. And you know what's weird about how he walked through it is that not only was he walking through it, but right at the right points, because, you know, there's a weird infantile kind of vibe going on the floor. Like, grown people going flip, flop, flip, flop. I mean, what are they, seven?
This is all on cue. It's all scripted. It's all done ahead of time.
There was some guy holding sandals, dude.
I know.
It's like, what are they, 12?
These sandals were manufactured and brought here en masse, just like the signs that our own Dan Pashman found out about yesterday. This is all scripted, and it looks scripted. It sounds scripted. And I don't think it's going to win. Newt Gingrich got on TV yesterday and said that George W. Bush is going to win 58-42. What color is the sky in his world?
And, you know, someone else was talking about how, you know, we get all freaked out. I'm guilty of it, you know, because I'm new to politics. I'm new to being involved in this kind of situation where I'm hip to what's going on, the nuances of everything. You know, and it's just business as usual for these cats. It doesn't matter what side you're on. But, like, as soon as we lose a couple points, I'm freaking out. I'm like, man, I don't like this. What are we going to do? What's going on? You know, and apparently the truth of the matter is it's a dead heat. They're fighting for about, you know, 10% to 15% of undecideds, and it's going to stay that way.
You know what? I almost like the fact that Kerry's lost some points because I think it's going to make him look at the Republicans the same way the Republicans look at him, red meat. John Kerry has not done a red meat speech, a red meat attack on these people yet. He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to do it soon. He's going to have to zero in on their weaknesses, and there are many. And attack, attack, attack. Beat them down.
I'm just pissed that they've got him on the defensive, that they are actually deciding the dialogue that goes on. I mean, he's got to, you know, pull out of that.
But that's what they prepared since Barry Goldwater.
Right.
40 years in the making is the ability to control the tempo and the course of the dialogue around this political.
Well, it's easy when you are, you know, because the basic platform of the Republicans and the basic, you know, core of their sensibility. Don't worry, that's just a fire. Oh, it's a fire drill.
The ever-present daily fire drill.
Yeah, there hasn't been anything too scary going on here.
Except that little rock that
there was a rumbling.
That little rumbling.
That was a couple days ago. We're sitting here, and it felt like, you know, I've lived in Los Angeles, you know, for a little while, and I know what a tremor feels like.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't happen in New York.
No, anyway, it shouldn't. But sometimes.
So anyway, so it's very easy for them to be focused because they're narrow-minded. I mean, when you're broad-minded, it's a little more difficult because there's a dialogue that has to happen. But these guys, the one thing I have felt in watching the convention in the pieces that I've watched is that the undercurrent of this whole thing is complete fear. That's all that there is. It's not a fear of the Democrats. It's just the entire theme of their convention is that, you know, we are afraid.
But
and you know, as a reaction to that fear, this is our platform.
Think of what you just said, though, in terms of the idea of dialogue. How much dialogue do you think is actually going on between the moderate and conservative wings of this party? The one thing that Democrats, I have to say, do well is dialogue amongst themselves. They do have the left wing of the party. They may argue like cats and dogs with the DLC, but there's an ongoing dialogue there. If you start looking at what actually went on during the course of this convention, when Brownback and those people gave their little family rally the other day, they didn't have any room for moderates there. That gathering was specifically to attack moderates within their own party. Well, there's no dialogue. There's no interest in dialogue.
That's the whole trick of this convention. I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, as we all know, there's a schism within the party, you know, between the moderates and the ultra-conservatives. They aren't getting along. They aren't meeting eye to eye. You know, the moderates are using the ultra-conservatives to mobilize the voting force.
Yeah.
You know, but these people are not happy with the moderation that's going on that they see up there on the podium. And what they're doing, you know, through PR and through spin is making it seem like, see that? We've got all kinds of people here in the Republican umbrella. You know, we've got imperialists, we've got fascists, we've got the middle class, we've got religious fanatics and bigots.
See, and black church choirs.
A black church choir and three black delegates. We've got everyone. I was on Colin Quinn last night with Cheryl Underwood, who is a self-described black Republican, you know, and she was up in my face, and I was throwing the points at her that, you know, what has George Bush really done? He's done nothing, and I kept arguing with her, but she wasn't arguing. Eventually, it just got to this point where she went, you're cute, you're passionate,
I like George Bush.
Yeah, and that was it, yeah. I like George Bush, and by the way, I want to thank some of the fans of the show that came down to Colin Quinn last night. Good seeing you.
It was
nice being represented. It was nice having my point of view and the liberals out in the audience, because they're always so shocked at that show where the liberal point of view gets a little round of applause. And I took Colin to task a little bit last night. He's hard to understand sometimes. I mean, it's not
probably deliberate, isn't it?
No, I don't know. He started yelling at me. He started calling the protesters neo-fascists. You know, and I'm like, if they are, someone needs to coordinate their fashion. You know, because, I mean, they're clearly wearing a lot of different things, which isn't the fascistic message. But his point was that they were stifling conversation, and it wasn't true.
What conversation?
Exactly.
Is there a conversation that didn't go on because of the protesters?
Exactly. I see. Arnold got his speech off all right. He just started yelling, and he's throwing around neo-fascists.
Oh, I know what it is. It's the conversation between the police and the protesters that gets stifled because the protesters aren't listening.
But then where are the fascists, though? I mean, really, between police and protesters, the whole basis of the show is provoking that the idea that show is most focused on as far as liberals versus conservatives is the idea that liberals are censoring speech by political correctness, you know, which is sort of outdated. I think we've gotten past it as a culture.
That's insane. Yeah. That whole argument is insane. But look, do you want to take apart some meat, some red meat? I don't eat red meat normally, but Dick Cheney and Zell Miller got up there last night. They said what they had to say. You want to take them apart, Maren?
Yeah, we will. Do you want to do it right now or you want to do it when we come back?
I don't know.
Let's do it when we come back. So okay. Stay with us on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich. I'm a filmmaker and a citizen, not a politician. I believe passionately in the freedom of expression, an idea that is increasingly threatened by today's administration. Films play an important role in bringing social issues to the public. Yet fewer films receive distribution today, especially those expressing an alternative point of view. Seven conglomerates now control which films you get to see. Film Movement and Air America Radio are trying to change all that. Subscribe to Film Movement at airamericaradio.com and receive a new, first-run film to own on DVD each month. Award-winning films with strong social messages. Important films such as Falling Angels with Miranda Richardson about the American family in the 1960s. And The Party's Over about the state of democracy in America. These films are exclusively available through Film Movement. We thank you for your support in our mission to bring alternative voices in film to America. Please visit airamericaradio.com and help make a difference.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid. And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No, no, no. Wait, wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble now.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius and joins Tony Hawk, Kevin Slater, and Gary Wall, the top extreme sports star. All with exclusive show only on Sirius Action 28.
Coming this fall.
Look at my knee.
We are the email generation. I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute.
It's safe to say that the majority of us do more corresponding through the computer than through the mail. And our kids have practically grown up on email. In fact, when's the last time they sent a postcard, a letter, or a thank you note? Well, there's something about sending a letter or card the old-fashioned way that makes the person who gets it feel special. So have your kids write a letter to grandma or a thank you note to their teacher or someone else whose day they want to make. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
I'm starting to wake up, man. I'm starting to wake up. I heard that I've already dumped some Dunkin' Donuts into my head.
Hey.
I woke up this morning. This cat. I had a fight with one of my cats. One of the four wild animals I've taken into my house. Thank you all for all the suggestions. But to be honest with you, there's still nobody willing to take these cats. One organization, the Animal Control Center, is willing to rent me a trap if I want to trap the mother, but it's still, no one's willing to fix these cats until they're up to 6 months old, and so I'm strapped with them. So I tried to get rid of one of the trouble-causing kittens last night. Not get rid of it, but just put it back outside because it's peeing and pooping all over everything, and it's mad at me. So I tried to get it, chase it out of my house, and it wouldn't go because now it's used to my house, so I couldn't even get rid of it, and because I tried to chase it, it scared me to pay me back. He's like, well, good morning, here's some pee on your couch. How are you?
You know what? You know what you've done, Mary?
What?
You have turned my daughter into a cat lover because she listens every morning. She's heard the saga of the cat.
I wish I could give her one of these cats.
She wrote this whole thing about why cats make good pets.
They're great pets, and they're very enchanting. They're seductive. I love cats.
Get out of my house, Mary.
No, I still love all these cats. I really do. I look at them, and the thing is like I'm looking at them. I'm like sitting there on my knees, like, oh, look at you. And I'm hand feeding them turkey and stuff. And then like, oh, look at the little red one. And I reach my hand out. And I'm like, all right, that's it. That's it. You don't like me? Exactly. Exactly is what it is. And I, you know, I still in my heart believe that I'm going to get these cats to turn around. But I don't know about, I'm giving up on one of them. Hey, you know what? Is this really important? Can we hear some sound of Chaney entering the auditorium last night? Yes. This is what they were doing before they started going, flip, flop, flip, flop. Yeah, Chaney takes the stage with that, like, half a smirk. His eyes are, you know, beaming red. You know, it's weird. If you're not a Republican, you can see right through to who he really is. And, you know, clearly, you know, even though Nichols said what he said yesterday, John Nichols, our guest, the reporter from the Village Voice, is writing a book on Dick Chaney. He said that this guy's not that, you know, bright a guy.
No, Nichols is from The Nation.
From The Nation, right. Yeah. And I don't care. I am still reading some serious, like, I put on my special glasses. I'm like, yep, that's him. That's the Antichrist, or at least one of the people that works for him.
I don't like to make fun of people's appearances. I was always taught as a child not to do that sort of thing.
I was not making fun of his appearance.
I'm not talking about his soul. I'm not talking about you.
Of his soul.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me because there's a part of Dick Chaney that doesn't seem to move in sync with the rest of his body.
Right.
Like the mouth and the left side of his face. I don't know.
He had three heart attacks during his speech last night. That's how good he is at having heart attacks. Is that like those pauses where they went on a little too long?
Yeah.
You know, where he was just sitting there, you know, taking in the audience. It wasn't a timing thing. He was literally sitting there going, okay, here's another one. That's all right. With this new heart I got, it's no problem. He had, I think, four heart attacks while he was on stage, which I think is even a record for him. And when he smirks like that, he's, you know, sometimes he'll smirk like a baby who has gas. And that's actually Dick Chaney having a heart attack. Now, there is a curse of Dick Chaney. You do realize this, that he is not political gold. that guy. You understand that, don't you?
He could be political mud.
No president has ever survived naming Dick Cheney to a post in his administration. This is true. We have evidence of this. The Cheney jinx was first seen at the presidential level back in 1969 when Nixon gave him a job.
Whoops.
Richard Nixon, the guy who inspired Arnold Schwarzenegger in a non-existent debate with Hubert Humphrey. 1975, Gerald Ford made Cheney his chief of staff, and then, with Cheney's help, lost the 1976 election. Genius.
Oh, yeah, thanks, right? Dick.
George H.W. Bush, having named Cheney Secretary of Defense, lost in 1992.
Thanks again, Dick.
See, you know what's creepy about this? Ronald Reagan was the only Republican president since Eisenhower to serve two full terms. He is also the only one not to have appointed Dick Cheney to office.
He was in Congress then.
Yeah, well, here's a quote from Rolling Stone. The article, The Curse of Dick Cheney, this is where we're drawing this information from. Quote, this pattern of misplaced confidence in Cheney, followed by disastrous results, runs throughout his life. From his days as a dropout at Yale to the geopolitical chaos he has helped create in Baghdad, once you get to know his history, the cycle becomes clear. First, Cheney impresses someone rich or powerful who causes unearned wealth and power to be conferred on him. Then, when things go wrong, he blames others and moves on to a new situation, even more advantageous to himself. So it's the little failing upward thing. It's an executive thing. But
it's a Bush administration thing.
Yeah, but clearly it's a pattern with Cheney. See, Cheney's all about Cheney. He's some sort of weird parasite, you know, very wealthy parasite on people that are even wealthier. Just picture him as some sort of leech on the planet. Like, just picture a giant leech, you know, like just over the Middle East region, just sucking oil out of that area, and it's got the face of Dick Cheney. And you can just hear it, you know, hear little heart attacks happening as it gurgs oil out of the earth. Just like, grook, grook, oh, ding, a little heart attack, you know. And then the weird little baby gas face, you know, the half smirk. Does the baby have gas or is it happy? No, he's having a heart attack, and it's not a baby, it's the vice president, and he's evil.
He spoke last night. And, you know, the audience, I guess, was appreciative to some extent. But he mentions John Kerry 14 times. He mentions Jobs only twice. And one of those two times he was talking about his own gig. Now, he talks about the schools are on a path to excellence, not for some children, but for all children. This is what Dick Cheney is trying to sell to us. But, of course, he shortchanged No Child Left Behind by $9 billion. Businesses are supposedly creating jobs. People are returning to work. Well, 1.1 million of them haven't yet returned to work. The black unemployment rate for men in New York City is at 50%. The Taliban no longer runs Afghanistan.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up, Mark Riley. I heard, they are starting to come around the flank and once again run Afghanistan, along with their old pals, the drug warlords. That's right. Billions of dollars are once again coming into the Taliban war chest. And Karzai is the apparently Karzai has control of the area just outside his apartment.
Well, yeah,
and
that's exactly what Cheney should have said, that the Taliban no longer runs Kabul, the capital. The rest of Afghanistan is still up for grabs.
Well, I guess if we had stayed there and finished what we were there to do in terms of taking action against actual terrorists, as opposed to saying, hey, look over there, fellas, there's Iraq. We've had our eye on that jewel for a while.
Oh, yeah,
as,
right?
You know, the slug Cheney kind of moves across the Middle East towards Iraq.
Now, you want another good laugh?
What?
Our nation has the best health care in the world, which is one of the true things he said. And President Bush is making it more affordable and accessible to all Americans. Well, gee, why then are 45 million people without health insurance, 1.4 million more than just last year?
Yeah, he couldn't finish it. He said America has the best health care in the world for those who can afford it. Maybe it could be affordable for everybody. Shut up, you socialist. No, bring it on. There's nothing wrong with socialism, and I said it right here.
You better not say that in front of Arnold.
No, yeah, of course not. So wait, what was the little sign you were making there at Smarty Pants Larson? You were doing some sort of weird lobster claw thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a new one. Those are
quotation marks, yes.
So you were telling Mark Riley to quote something? I thought you were actually going, look, I'm Lobster Boy. Look at me.
No, you know, one other thing he did say, and I'm quoting here, what? The Bush tax cuts are working. Recent report by the Congressional Budget Office just a couple of weeks ago, says that Bush tax cuts had moved much of America's cuts to hardworking middle Americans. Households earning around $75,000 saw their tax burden jump, while the top 1% who earned more than $1.1 million received the biggest tax break.
Right, it's skewed to the top 1%.
It's skewed, Absolutely.
They said the top 1% saved $52,000 in 2003. 80% of all taxpayers saved less than $1,500 in federal taxes. And that, you talked about the black unemployment, but the number of Americans all together living below the poverty level, 35.9 million.
Increase of 1.3.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It makes Cheney's speech unbelievable.
I have to assume some of them are delegates. I have to assume that some of them. Am I wrong? I
mean, no, there's got to be. They couldn't afford the fare.
Really?
I guess.
There's got to be a few of those
These
people in there.
Saving. Look, they're buying into the whole decisive, we won the war mentality.
Uh-huh.
And that's their right. They're Americans.
Right.
But, you know, the idea that there are people who will say, we care more about gay marriage than we do about the economy, or that we care about jobs creation.
Yeah.
It means that there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Did you see Santorum? You know,
I am
so grateful that I am not losing my hair, because there's really only a few things you can do when that happens. And whatever he's doing, I didn't buy it. Now, the other thing, I'm not just making fun of the guy's appearance. I'm more
Go
than
ahead
going,
and make fun of the guy's appearance.
No, I don't want to do that, because that's beneath me, but I just did it. But the truth of the matter is that guy is a great example of a creepy Christian. In not terms, I'm not talking Christian and Christian beliefs. I'm talking about, evangelical, born-again fanatic type person. Who, like, he sat there acting like he was being candid and really connecting on a human level, but I've never seen someone more detached in my life. It was like a guy doing an impression of a guy trying to talk to people. You know, I don't know what, does that make any sense? I mean, he was sort of like, you know, laughing at himself and smirking as if, you know, he had just won the debating contest. And I didn't connect at all, and I have a lot of contempt for that guy, because you know what he looks like? He looks like a prime candidate for someone whose wife's going to screw around on him. Now, I don't know why I say that. Just some sort of gut response I had to him. I'm like, this guy's clueless. He is so full of himself in such the wrong way that there's no way, if he's that detached from a crowd of people and he's a politician, I'm sure that he has no idea what's going on around him.
By the way, did you hear so many of these folks who have spoken at this convention all come from such humble backgrounds? It's like all their parents were broke, every last one of them.
Didn't Cheney say that his grandparents, like, you know, lived in a dumpster or something?
Yeah, and Santorum said, you know, that if it wasn't for his family, and, you know, they came in 1930. And
from Italy?
Yeah, I don't know what they would
do. You never hear this. And if my grandfather was alive today, he'd be so disappointed in my narrow-mindedness and my bitterness and my contempt.
Coming up, the president's Palm Pilot, the liberal agenda, and later, Democratic National Committee boss Terry McAuliffe, all for you on Air America Radio.
Turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states. So call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Some Democrats watching the week-long Republican convention in New York are suffering from anxiety and are urging presidential candidate John Kerry to step up the attacks on George W. Bush. This before the convention wraps up tonight. Kerry appears to be heeding the call because he ripped Bush at a veterans convention yesterday on his handling of the war in Iraq. Vice President Cheney slammed Kerry while praising Bush during his address last night at the convention. His speech was interrupted several times by high applause and a waving of flip-flop slippers in his bid to mock Kerry. Whether it worked remains to be seen, since several journalists, political pundits, and Democrats questioned Cheney's account of Bush's record on a variety of issues. Despite all the praise, tributes, and rhetoric coming out of the RNC, polls indicate that the president still has his work cut out for him as the race remains dead even. Bush is hoping to break the deadlock with a home run speech tonight when he faces the party delegates in a televised audience. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
The blockbuster event of the year. All the thrills. All the chill. Romance. Comedy. Drama.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
It's fun for the whole family. All your favorite E! Entertainment TV shows. All on Sirius E! Entertainment Radio 136.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Lance has a problem with the IRS and wants to know what he should do. My advice coming up after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
How should Lance handle his IRS problems? Dave, I have an IRS problem. Should I meet with them alone? No. Or with a professional with me? You should always take a professional with you. There's two problems with the IRS. You have one of three scenarios that can happen. You can meet a competent, intelligent, nice individual, which can actually happen at the IRS, but it doesn't happen very often. What's more likely to happen is one of the two other options, incompetent or mean or both, in which case you would have needed a professional in the room, someone to extract the tiger's teeth, or to tell you when you're getting bit in case you didn't know. There's not a chance I'm going in the room with the IRS without Norm Rollins, my tax attorney, with me. It's not happening. Nope, I don't go meet with the KGB by myself. I mean the IRS by myself. It's not happening. No, always take a pro.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
That's right. Mark Maron here. It is 33 past the hour. I'm with Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition.
Hi.
Air America Radio. We're talking about Dick Cheney some more in just a second, or the, you know, the evil baby with half a smile. And that part of his, when that weird side of his mouth sort of arches up like it's smiling, it's not. He's just having another heart attack. He's gotten so good at it. That,
you know, you're going to wish him to have a heart attack.
His heart attacks pass like most people have gas. He says, oh, wait, no, I'm good. I just had a heart attack. Here we go. Here's the presidential palm pilot. Thank you, Ramon. See you later. It's great. Me and Riley actually got to meet Ramon, and he refuses to get on the air. Maybe that'll happen again. And now he's running. Those two guys are after him.
Oh,
no!
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I am a golden god. Anoint my body with sacred oils, and the multitude shall praise my name throughout the land. 10 a.m. Meet with Cheney. Congratulate him on last night's speech. Scratch behind his ears and feed him dead flies. 11:30 a.m. Attend prayer service, New York. Note, don't touch the holy water. It burns. It burns. 12:45 p.m. Tour Madison Square Garden, hereafter known as Brooks and Dunn Rockin' Country Garden. 1:30 p.m. Meet Satan. Receive talking points. Thank him for choosing the tie to wear tonight. Color? Hell red. 3 p.m. Order out for food. Wait for it to arrive via Air Force One from Dallas. 5 p.m. Meet with ordinary New Yorker. Thank her for the extra towels. Have her and her family arrested and sent back to Puerto Rico. 10 p.m. Speak at Republican National Convention and accept renomination for president. Note, if Jesus comes back, have security make him wait until after the balloons. 12 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thoughts. 4 more years in the White House. 3 more years of paid vacation.
Mm.
There you go. That's the Palm Pilot for today. So we are discussing Dick Cheney. And he had a lot of things to say about John Kerry last night. Wait. That was the sound of a heart attack. It's a small scream. Small scream. I felt like I just had a Randy Rhodes pause.
Uh-oh.
So Kerry said, quote, even in this post-9/11 period, Senator Kerry doesn't appear to understand how the world has changed. He talks about leading a more sensitive war on terror, end quote. So he's hitting this old thing again. I'm surprised he didn't bring up the Iraq-Al-Qaeda thing again. Did he do that for him earlier in the week? Kerry, quote, if I can respond, quote, as saying, I believe I can fight a more effective, more thoughtful, more strategic, more proactive, more sensitive war on terror that reaches out to other nations and brings them to our side, end quote. The truth of the matter is, sensitive has a lot of different definitions. One of them is perceptive. One of them is listening to all points of view. The other one is Dick Cheney's sensitive in the irritable way. So sensitivity can cause irritation, you know. Now, and also, I might want to say that in 2001, George Bush said, precisely because America is powerful, we must be sensitive about expressing our power and influence. The weird thing about Bush is, like, it's like the other night when he says, well, I don't think we can win it.
Yeah.
You know, is that... That was a weird moment of truth where the president was actually saying the truth. We talked about this on Tough Crowd, that he had a moment of clarity where he was honest. He had what I call, you've heard of senior moments. He had a liberal moment where he actually spoke the truth, okay, which happens occasionally. And his staff freaked out. Everyone around him freaked out because, dude, if you tell the truth about that, we got nothing.
Yep.
You know, you clearly have to, and then he gets on TV in front of the American Legion and gives everyone, the world, that look where it's like, you know, we are winning. Like, he was blaming us for him, you know, for him misspeaking the truth as if it were our fault, where he should be telling the truth. You know, and the truth of the matter is, they don't want it to be winnable, Mark. You know that. I know that. They want this to go on for at least another 4 years.
War without end, I'm in. That's what they want.
It's perfect for them.
That's what Dick Cheney is all about. That's what he'll do for the next 4 years.
Well, you know, and also, again, this was in 2003, Bush said, quote, we need to be very sensitive when gathering intelligence against potential terrorists. I just can't, you know, the thing that really pinches me.
Go ahead, you can say it.
Is that you got all of these Republican monkeys there on the floor going flip, flop, flip. They could have been watching Barney, all right?
Yep.
Now, and then, you know, when he says sensitive, that somehow plays to something in them, that their bitterness, their lack of confidence in their own sexuality, their complete religious repression, how could the word sensitive evoke sort of, you know, smug laughter as being indicative of something characterologically wrong with somebody, unless that group is a bunch of, you know, narrow-minded, bitter, sort of repressed, hating people?
Ask yourself this question, Mark Maron. Why would anyone, Democrat, Republican, Tory, or Whig, pay more attention to a guy who dodged the draft and what he has to say about war than a war hero and what he has to say about war?
Because
it makes no sense whatsoever.
They respond to bullies. They love bully juice. That's what they live on. That's what strength looks like to them. Most of them have not fought in wars, and you know, most of them have not had any experience with that. All they care about is themselves, and they're bitter, repressed, little cloistered people that want nothing more than to live in, you know, gated communities or, you know, and be safe from this perceived fear. You know, these people, bullies look like strength to people that are pathologically frightened.
Have
and that's what they're exploiting.
Have you looked at some of the people that are in Madison Square Garden? You've seen some of the people on the floor?
Yes. It's hilarious to watch them try to dance. They always cut to these sort of, you know, porky white women moving their hands and looking around for approval. You know, like, look at me, I'm moving in a happy way. This is the first time I've ever had happy movement.
And some of them clap on 1 and 3, and some of them clap on 2 and 4. I mean, that part of it is just...
And you're talking about the black delegates, which is really scary.
Yeah, I know. It's a scary, scary thing. But they got the choir. They had the Baptist choir to get them back on.
What did they sing, the choir?
The Boys Choir of Harlem sang the national anthem, I think, yesterday, the day before. I don't know what they sang last night. Something patriotic, I'm sure, though.
I don't know, but you know what? It's weird that you think those these guys are young kids, right?
Three words. No, these are grown folks.
Okay.
This Baptist choir was grown, but again, faith based initiative.
So they kicked back a little money to that one black church.
Hey. We'll take care of you. You need medical help. You need this help, that help, the other help. We'll take care of you. You want to run a program? We'll give you the money.
Here's the money. Just show up, will you?
Yeah.
Show up at the convention, will you, and sing. All right, we will be back. We're going to take some more shots at the Antichrist in a minute on Air America Radio.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No, no, no. Wait, wait. He's a little unsteady. Oh, it looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble out. Oh, God, I'm hurt.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kevin Slater, and Gary Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. All with exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
This is my knee.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius. The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community, anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one! It is!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh,
that's so weird. Should we do something?
You guys weren't using this, were you?
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Why don't we talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Mark Maron. We're taking a few pop shots at the Antichrist, Dick Cheney, who's right now at his hotel having heart attacks. That's Mark Riley over there. This is Morning's Edition on Air America. And just sitting down, walking around as though lost, is free-roving political commentator Martin Lewis, a frequent guest on our show. Literally, just looked like he'd just been sleeping under a table here. What did you... wait, we need Mike. We need Mike.
Really nice.
Yeah, here we go.
Thank you. This is your microphone and your paying for it. No, it's been a very brutal week for me. You know, I know that Bush, Cheney, has assembled over $300 million for their campaign effort, and I feel it's my duty as a liberal to personally eat and drink as much of that $300 million as possible. So I've had to be staggering around from party to party, thrown by fat cats, and I've even had to come off the Atkins diet.
Oh, my God. Lewis is off of the Atkins diet.
Uh-oh.
Dude, don't you see what they're doing? You've taken the bait. This is how they're going to get you. This is how they cause heart attacks in indulgent liberals.
Well, I come off it on November 3rd. I mean, I'm basically going to eat and drink until I deplete their water.
And then you'll hopefully go into a celebratory Atkins week or two, as opposed to the despairing starvation protest.
Either way, I will try and regain my shape.
So you've been paying attention, I imagine. You've been outside of eating and drinking. You've been on the floor listening to what's going on. You got your ear to the ground. What's happening?
Well, both walking around the floor and also going to a lot of the parties where the real Wheeler D-League goes on. I have one great advantage having this is, you know, it's a fake British accent, but because of this British accent...
Wait, don't tell me. A lot of people mistake you for Blair, right?
please don't insult me that way. They do, you know, with the British accent, you get away with murder. So I've been talking to some of the more temperate, decent, nice people in the Republican Party, like Alan Keyes, Jerry Falwell.
And the A-list.
Yeah.
Temperate, nice people.
Yeah, and it's been fascinating. I mean, there is also a delusion I've been speaking to the very nice people in the log cabin Republicans and the so-called Main Street Republicans, the so-called mod.
What is this, Disneyland? I had no idea there was this many theme parks.
Well,
the Main Street Republicans
the small world after all.
Well, it's really Wall Street Republicans. However, there's the best line I've heard, and I'm sure you've seen this line, was from one of the log cabin Republicans. He said, this convention is like putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
And this week, all I've seen until last night, it was all lipstick, no pig.
Yeah.
Last night, we got the first full-blown pig.
You know what's hilarious? In my head, I'm sitting there going, what's wrong with putting lipstick on a pig? Who hasn't done
that? Well, obviously a farm boy at heart.
Apparently no one's worked the road. Anyways, go ahead.
So, of course, Zell Miller proving that hell hath no fury like a scorned old senator.
Dude, I mean, was that guy full of the hate or what?
Oh, my God. Yeah, but
completely paralyzed with fear.
Did you see him on Hardball with on MSNBC with Chris Matthews? I mean, he blew a complete fuse. He said, get out of my face! And I'm sorry, that wasn't a bad impression. But get out of my face!
I like the way you celebrate your own impression in the middle of it. That was pretty good.
I was surprised he didn't come out sounding like Donald Duck, to be honest. but there it was, and he completely blew a sack. Now, of course, when John Kerry had the temerity to raise his voice slightly to protest when they were attacking him on the Swift Boat thing, he said he lost his cool. I'm waiting for the GOP spokesman to say that Zell Miller lost his marbles. I mean, it was insane.
Dig this, though. This is Zell Miller, 2001, all right? He said this quote.
Are you going to do an impression like me?
I wish I could. I don't think I can do it as well as you. My job tonight is an easy one, to present to you one of this nation's authentic heroes, one of this party's best known and greatest leaders, and a good friend. In his 16 years in the Senate, John Kerry has fought against government waste and worked hard to bring some accountability to Washington. Early in his Senate career in 1986, John signed on to the Graham-Rudman-Hollings Deficit Reduction Bill, and he fought for balanced budgets before it was considered politically correct for Democrats to do so. John has worked to strengthen our military, reform public education, boost the economy, and protect the environment. End quote. United States Senator Zell Miller, 2001. Now, what the hell happened behind closed doors to get that bug that far up that guy's behind? What happened?
A flip-flop. Get out of my face. But don't start accusing me of being get out of my face.
There was a type of resentment, a type of deep-seated, like, strange fear and hate. Dude, I got a burn on my shoulder from watching him on television. His eyes burned me.
Which, I mean, the only way I could describe it is somebody who is severely postmenopausal. There's something very seriously wrong with his biochemistry.
It's such old-school, strange American hatred, just pandering to the type of fear he was pandering to, and being that xenophobic.
I'm glad he did it, because it was, as I say, it was the first time we saw the lipstick come off the pig. It's the time when you saw what is underneath. It was the defining moment for me,
like
Pat Buchanan in 1992.
The pig soul of the Republican Party.
No, we didn't see the pig. We saw the pig face of the Republican Party. We saw what is underneath.
You're not looking deep enough.
Well, if you've been on the road with the pig, you sometimes just look at the superficial aspect.
That's for sure.
No, Zell Miller was celebrated through this convention because he is a Democrat. Carrying this water for Georgia. Now, the only other Democrat that's carrying water for Bush is Ed Koch, who's the former mayor of New York City.
He's just carrying water.
Yeah, he's just carrying water. As a matter of fact, we may have some over there. But the bottom line is Zell Miller took a prominent place in this convention because he's a Democrat. I don't know why he is so embittered that he would, you know, change horses in midstream like this.
It's suspect. It feels like there's so much that goes on in the Senate that most people don't know about. Like, they actually vote on things over and over again, so the accusation of flip-flopping has nothing to do with reality. It's the legislative process. There's something that goes on. These guys are all very decent to each other in the chambers. They consider themselves the respect respectable house. Who the hell knows? But this kid that, you know, who, I don't know what kind of
his
man.
His cloakroom privileges may have just been revoked.
That's
all, something
that's
like
exactly
that.
It. We don't know what kind of man Zell Miller is or what turned him like this. It could have been a lunch bill. You know what I mean? John Kerry said he would pay for lunch. He didn't pay for lunch.
Get out of my face. Get out of my face.
Sick liberal bastard would not pay for lunch when he said he was going to pay for lunch. I would not want this man to be my commander-in-chief if he will not pick up the tab when he says he's going to pick up the tab. Oh, my God, I just busted something in my guts.
But now, would he be doing all this if he wasn't retiring? If he was running for re-election, would he have the stones to do this to a Democrat?
So you're saying some of that faith-based initiative money is
into
the Zell Miller private account?
The Church of Zell.
He didn't have the courage to do what Jim Jeffords or Phil Graham did, which is switch parties.
To the right party, to the truth party.
Yeah, exactly. I personally think there's something very, very sad there, but I'm glad it's out in the open. Now we know, and that's why we British have to take over your country.
You already did it once. No,
you
no,
did it once with the Beatles, didn't you?
You've been secretly harboring that for years. For 200 years, you're like, we'll get it back.
Well, yeah, when you see stuff like that. But the serious thing here is that there is clearly, you've seen an aspect of the Republican Party. They didn't want to have that on show last night. That and the Bush twins.
Thank you very much, Martin Lewis. It looks like they're setting up a buffet over there. So
I'm only going to eat if it's paid for by Republicans. I cannot eat Democratic food.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. We got Republican coffee over there.
Thanks for staying. Yeah, thanks for hanging out. It's good seeing you.
Pleasure.
Yeah, take it easy. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order the CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at all Borders books and music stores.
The Revolution Starts Now.
Welcome to Jed and Barry's Ice Cream. What flavor would you like, sir?
Hey there, I'll take a little of all 120 flavors, please.
That's, a lot to try, sir.
I got the car, I got the kids, and a hell of a long drive ahead.
Yeah,
who knows?
But
I like chocolate, so maybe I'll like Super Mocha Fudge. Wrap it to go, kid. Time's a-wasting.
There's a lot to sample on Sirius. So this Labor Day weekend, surf around. You might just surprise yourself with something you never thought you'd like. Sirius. Find your favorites.
Oh, no.
Big ears.
Flat feet.
Buck teeth.
Bushy hair.
Pug nose.
Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at Family Learning Programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. On things like GED preparation, English as a second language, and more. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 and pass down the greatest thing of all.
A chance.
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
You give me power.
This is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Shoes! We're fighting for our lives here.
So, Mark Riley,
hey.
It's morning sedition here on Air America Radio. It's 54 past the hour. Hey, Kalo, down there in the booth at Mission Control in the bunker, you got that new Bush ad? I'd like to hear that. Thanks. That'd be great.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry likes to call it the war on terror. That's because he lacks the moral clarity of George Bush, who knows what this is really about.
We were actually misnamed the war on terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
John Kerry says he can even win this so-called war on terror. That's because he lacks the strong and steady leadership of George W. Bush, who's got a better plan than just winning.
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that the those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world, let's put it that way.
George W. Bush, unlike John Kerry, he's fighting the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world by creating conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world.
Yeah, so if that's not clear to anybody. And can I just point out...
The man's a genius.
Yeah, can I just point out that that was a joke ad. A joke. I saw some emails yesterday. I went through them. And I haven't really gone through the emails. Now that we have the blog, I can just go to that if I feel like it. But, you know, some people, there was this one. There was the one that's like, you guys shouldn't give Bush ad time on your station. I'm like, dude, maybe you should go out and get a sense of humor, for God's sakes. And then there are the other ones. It's like, I don't think it's appropriate to be making jokes right now because we are in trouble, and I think that it takes away from your effectiveness at countering the message or changing people's minds. It's like, humor is the most powerful way to do that, number one. Number two, just because you have no sense of humor and you find pain, anger, and despair entertaining does not mean we have to service your particular needs. There are some people that are so filled with some sort of panic that all they can be relieved by is to be confirmed in their complete hopelessness. Can't do it for you. Got to have a little levity.
You had a little kind of psychosexual thing underneath all of that, didn't you?
Just now? I'm not sure.
You're talking about servicing and...
Oh, I get it. Well, I don't know if there's time for that with these types of people. There's no time. Oh, we didn't get to talk. Hey, we got Pashman. Pashman's bit where he went undercover and into the hole to get some real news. He made it to the National Journal. National Journal. Man, the guy is in demand. Here's a liberal agenda for today. One, last day of convention, reset volume level from hectoring to shrill. Two, blast Dick Cheney for his unfair attacks on John Kerry and for taking the fun out of being a lesbian. Three, riot during Bush's speech. First, make appointment with police. Nothing too violent, of course, and if we could wrap it up before one, that would be great, because that's when Starbucks closes. Four, to show our outrage against the sham of a convention. This sham of a convention today will be a day without sodium. None. All right. Five, today's phrase is dropping in the conversation. Quote, McCain is a douchebag, Cheney's an even bigger douchebag, and Bush is the king douchebag. Uh-oh, here comes the Secret Service. We'll be back in a second. I got to run, Mark. You tell them what's going on next.
We've got the Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Rapture Watch, and Democratic National Committee boss Terry McAuliffe, all for you, live from Madison Square Garden on Air America Radio.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Immunizations prevent children from getting dangerous diseases like measles, polio, and mumps. But too many children aren't getting the immunizations they need. Parents can protect their children against 10 preventable childhood diseases in about 6 visits to the doctor. And most of them should happen before the child's 2 years old. So
don't wait, vaccinate. For more information, call 1-800-232-2522. 1-800-232-2522.
Old Way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New Way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's the final day of the Republican National Convention in New York as party delegates and the media wait to hear the acceptance speech of President George W. Bush tonight. The commander-in-chief is already here, spending the night at New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Security has been extra tight, creating what many New Yorkers refer to as presidential gridlock. Anticipated protest demonstrations throughout the day will make travel in New York's midtown difficult at best. Local authorities and federal law enforcement are not taking any chances on Bush's safety should there be an emergency. Reports say there are two special commuter trains ready to take the president and his entourage outside the city in the event of trouble. One train is sitting at New York's Penn Station. The other is on a special track beneath the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, which would take Bush immediately into New York's northern suburbs. Bush met with a local group of firefighters last night in New York to thank them again for their efforts on 9/11. The response to his campaign appearance was warm from all indications. President appeared to be preaching last night to the converted, but not all uniformed firefighters are in lockstep with their brethren at the New York Social Club, the site of the Bush appearance. The International Brotherhood of Firefighters, a nationwide group, has already thrown their support behind Democrat John Kerry. At the convention, the Republicans last night tried to upstage the Democrats with a keynote address by Southern retiring Democratic Senator Zell Miller. Miller says he suffered no shame by breaking ranks with the Democrats and carrying water for the Bush-Cheney team. After his convention appearance, Miller engaged in a little must-see TV during an appearance with broadcaster Chris Matthews on MSNBC. Matthews apparently aroused Miller's ire when asked of his thoughts had a Republican severed ranks with the party to address the Democrats.
If a Republican senator broke ranks, and a Republican senator broke ranks and came over and spoke for the Democrats, would you respect him?
Yes.
Of course.
Why? I would. I've seen that happen from time to time. Look.
What did Jim Jefferson say to you? Jim Jefferson, remind, switch parties
if
after getting elected.
If you're going to ask the question.
Well, that's a tough question. It takes a few words.
Get out of my face. If you're going to ask me a question, step back and let me answer.
Retiring Democratic Senator Zell Miller in an obvious heated exchange with MSNBC's Chris Matthew. Democratic leaders are calling on John Kerry to step up his attacks on President Bush while the Republicans are still convening in New York, and this before his approval ratings seriously become a problem. Kerry and members of the campaign staff are being flooded with advice. Many of them want Kerry to serve notice on Bush for not serving in Vietnam. National polls numbers since the Democratic convention show Bush gaining on Kerry, but the contest dead even. Some political observers say Bush and his surrogates have been vicious and unforgiving with a series of swift vote ads running in battleground states. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rame on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude.
I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Rae, 10 a.m. Eastern weekday, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
This is Earth and Sky on how some sea creatures have adapted to life thousands of meters below the ocean surface.
One challenge of deep ocean life is that there's not much to eat. Since no light penetrates, no plants or algae can grow.
Some deep ocean creatures survive on the steady rain of plankton and other particles coming down from surface waters.
Others get their food from below. Geysers of hot water and nutrients called hydrothermal vents erupt from spots on the seafloor. These hydrothermal vents feed bacteria. The bacteria, in turn, feed tube worms and other creatures.
And sometimes a large object, say a dead whale, makes it to the seafloor. Deep ocean fishes have an excellent sense of smell, so they can find the food bonanza. They're also equipped to seize living prey that can be few and far between.
For example, the gulper eel is mostly mouth and teeth, and it has an expandable stomach, so it can swallow creatures its own size. Most deep-sea fish and squid have organs that generate light through a chemical reaction. In the darkness, flashing light helps attract mates or scare off predators. But most often the lights are used to attract food. The black dragonfish, for example, has chin whiskers, really dangling chin barbs, that act as glow-in-the-dark fishing lures.
For links to pictures of some deep-sea creatures, come to earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. How dare they?
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Game over, man. Game over.
We're here. We are in the belly of the beast still, the Republican National Convention. It's the last night. It's the big night. It's the night. Let me tell you something. This thing has been a snooze fest. You can even see it on TV. It exudes a sort of, you know, boring predictability that these people have. And I was on, you know, tough crowd last night. I'm sorry. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
And also, good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, faint-hearted people, self-indulgent, sensitive people. Haters of all kinds, hipsters, you're all welcome here in the great umbrella of the liberal, the liberal tradition. Here under the small tent, where they're trying to claim that they have diversity just because they're presenting that the moderates and the conservatives are actually somehow getting along.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous in a lot of ways. You know, the other thing that I can't stand is that they have these ads that they run during the Republican convention. Have you seen that? The ads within the RNC. They had,
oh, you mean the news reports posing?
News reporters who are like not real news reporters, like they're fooling anybody. If that's fooling you, you are dumb.
Well, half of them are black women, and everybody knows there aren't that many black women in
media. How about the weird little comedy pieces trying to make people out of Karl Rove? How do you make a person out of that guy? Like, he's cute and he's funny. You know, I can't, you know, I just can't. Did you see that thing, that Barney the dog thing? Way too long. It's so not funny. Didn't even make sense. And really, those guys should not be performing comedy because they're already involved in a tremendous farce, an evil farce. I just don't think that they should be performing comedy.
Rove walked by us the other day. Did he look human to you?
I burned my hand. I keep getting burned. Like,
is that Karl Rove?
Miller burned me through my TV set with his eyes last night, and look at that. That's a third degree burn from Karl Rove.
I thought that was just like a suntan thing.
No. That's a Karl Rove singe. Yeah, it's just like, that's what happens if he walks by you and you don't believe. Literally, you feel a weird burning, and then some part of you will be burned.
Wow. I haven't had that burning sensation since.
His hair's all fringed on top because his head works at such a high heat. And don't mistake, this guy is evil, 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 and you all know that are listening to it. But the great moment was the other night when he was being interviewed by that dummy John King, and like they were talking about the speculation that the podium might be, you know, based on a religious pulpit, because there's a cross on it. Some people were seeing that, and Rove literally turns around and goes, "Where did they come up with this stuff?" And I looked at him like, "Because it's true." I didn't even notice it, you know, until they brought it up. But of course, it's true. thanks again for all the help with the cats. I want to thank the fans coming down the tough crowd last night. That was great to see you. It was great to have you there. Had a good time. The cats are crazy. There's no one wants the cats. I am going to have to figure out what I'm going to do with them. I tried to get rid of one last night. I'm sorry I'm distracting or taking away from the issues at hand. Uh-huh. But you know, I tried to get one of these cats out. Okay, I tried to scare him out of the apartment and make him go back outside because he's a troublemaker, this one, the one cat. I wanted to, you know, I was going to trap him. See, the thing is, here, Mark, are you with me here?
I'm listening.
I'm trying to figure
out. I'm with it.
I don't know what to do. You can't spade or fix these cats. You can't fix them until they're like 6 months old, and they're only 2 months old now, and they don't like me.
You can't fix them until they're 6 months old?
That's what I was told.
Oh, wow.
So what I was going to do is put them back outside and recapture them in like a few months and do it, but then I can't. You know, I can't let him go, and then I, one of them got mad at me, so now he's peeing on stuff, and like it's not. Hey, all right, okay, yeah, all right.
Oh, you brought one with you, huh?
But let's get to the real nastiness. My cats are going to be okay, but I don't want to distract anyone from the issues at hand, which is that Dick Cheney calling John Kerry on this $87 billion thing again.
Well, they're calling John Kerry on a bunch of military votes over the years. This goes back, by the way, to February, when the RNC, the Republican National Committee, which is, of course, the hosts of this convention, went and got an opposition research report. And it listed 13 weapons systems supposedly affected by Kerry's Senate votes back through the years.
That was Del Miller, right, who read that list? Was that who we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, guess what? Bush and Cheney, and Bush's father, more importantly, supported getting rid of virtually everything Zell Miller was attacking John Kerry for voting to get rid of.
There's some bad blood there, man. Something snapped in that guy's head, man. Zell Miller is like, there's something wrong with that guy. Can he possibly be that deeply frightened, defensive, you know, hostile? And it's just like all I'm seeing with these guys outside of Cheney, because he is somehow above fear. The only thing he's afraid of is you know, not being able to get as much money as possible out of whatever administration is in power. But there's a deep sense of complete paranoia, xenophobia, and fear that just is permeating throughout this convention.
Well, see, this is how they end up sliming John Kerry in terms of these votes that he took. First of all, those 13 weapon systems that were affected by his votes came from only three votes. One, the 1991 Omnibus Defense Appropriations Bill.
Yeah.
The other two were conference committee reports for defense appropriations bills in 1990 and 1995. That means of those 13 weapon systems they're dogging for, that came only out of three votes. The strange part of this is that President George H.W. Bush and Dick Cheney, who was Secretary of Defense at the time, wanted even deeper cuts. Here's a quote from Dick Cheney. "You've squabbled and sometimes bickered and horse-traded and ended up forcing me to spend more money on weapons that don't fill a vital need in these times of tight budgets and new requirements. You've directed me to buy more M1s and F-14s and F-16s, all great systems, but we have enough of them." Now they're turning around and saying, no, we don't have enough of them, and it's John Kerry's fault. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was because I guess at the time that they were suggesting these cuts, they thought that our military didn't need to be big anymore, that we weren't up against anything. The Cold War was over. We needed to streamline it. What was going on? What was the thinking?
This was the so-called peace dividend. This was after the end of the fall of the Soviet Union. Everybody figured, well, we can cut defense. That's all well and good. No problem. The thing now, though, is to bring these up and attack John Kerry for voting essentially the same way the Bush administration and Dick Cheney himself was advocating is just completely disingenuous.
Well, the thing is that with the $87 billion that was that Kerry sort of what they're accusing him is flip-flopping on, is that he said that you can't, you know, if you're going to ask for that much money, mm-hmm. then you can't cut taxes at the same time. If you want to be patriotic, you know, and you believe this war is justified, then why are you so frightened to tell the American people that they need to pay for it? Because in the history of America, if the war is justified and people believe in it, then they are willing to make a sacrifice. But the audacity and arrogance of this administration to, you know, ask for that kind of money, you know, and ask for the authority to start the war whenever they want, which Kerry didn't want either. He wanted it to be a diplomatic.
He wanted a consensus
with the United Nations and with other countries, and then to put a tax cut on top of it. That just goes to show that this administration is more concerned with selfish needs as opposed to national security.
But remember something, Mark Maron.
Yes.
The guy who spoke here on Monday night. You remember him, Senator John McCain?
Yes.
Took Kerry's position on that. He too said you cannot have tax cuts at the same time you're trying to wage war. He got on Bush about that.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, how do you get up here and say this guy is so wonderful when just a couple of months ago you were jumping all in his face for saying that you want a tax cut and you want $87 billion for a war appropriation?
And Bush himself, twice he threatened to veto the $87 billion. He opposed a provision in the bill that provided an additional $1.3 billion for improved medical benefits for reservists and veterans.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Another provision would have allocated some of the reconstruction money in loans rather than grants. The veto threats caused both provisions to be removed. Now, like these... not only are they hypocritical and self-serving, but you know they don't care that they're bankrupting the country. They just don't care.
They don't care that they're shortchanging the veterans. They just don't care.
Well, yeah, because in the platform itself, it quote, President Bush and Congress have increased funding for veteran services. It's not true, is it?
No, it isn't true.
I mean, at least 200 veterans are on waiting lists for health care. 200,000 veterans. 200,000 veterans are on waiting lists.
The population of a small American city.
Now, I wonder if that counts in the uninsured numbers. I wonder, like, I'm sure it doesn't. This is probably on top of the people who are uninsured. It doesn't matter. I mean, this is, it's all bad. An internal Bush memo obtained by the Associated Press suggested that about $900 million in cuts were in store for veterans programs for the year 2000, by 2006?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fiscal year 2006.
How can these guys just lie to the people? How can they look them right in the face and lie? Are they that detached? I mean,
no, they want to win that bad. They believe that they can save these things. They will not be challenged because in the past they have not always been challenged. John Kerry does not always challenge them. And as a result, they think that they can get away with this, that they can sell this snake oil, and that when it's all said and done, they will have accomplished their goal, which is to give this guy four more years.
We got to finish this up because these disingenuous, in Pashman, we got Pashman's piece from the going underneath the stage and making big news. We'll be right back after, I'm sorry, Dan Pashman, son of Willis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey. We'll be back on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, muscular skeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2844. To see if you may be entitled to compensation, 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No. Wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble out.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kelly Slater, and Terry Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. Follow the exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
Look at my knee.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
Yeah, we're back. You know what time it is? I'll tell you. It's about 20 past.
20 past the hour.
Yeah, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Let's say hi to Brian Lehrer. Hey, Brian.
Brian. Hey, my man.
Right over there. He's right over there doing his homework for his show.
Yep.
All alone over there, sitting by himself, doing his own work. It's nice.
Me.
Oh, the producer's here, too.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of producer. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's other people over there, too. But you just seem to be, you know, Brian, you just seem to be...
He's in his own zone.
Yeah, he's right there at his own desk. Yeah, we're going to talk to Brian when we come back. I used to listen to him every morning here on WNYC, and then around Leonard Lope time, I'd have to turn it off. What? And it's a personal thing. You know, I did Leonard's show, and I felt condescended to, and I didn't like him. So, And I would listen to him too, you know, because I thought he was, you know, a fairly smug but smart guy, you know, almost to the point where he tried to prove his smartness constantly. And sure enough, when I sat down with him, that was indeed the case. Humorless, condescending man. Anyways, I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry.
He wasn't talking about you.
And he wasn't laughing at that either. Brian Lehrer was not laughing at what I was saying. He actually went, no.
He's a nice, non-condescending man.
But anyways, here I'm going to the therapist today. Thank God. Here's my dream diary for last night. I'm a mouse, and I live in the Madison Square Garden. Okay, I'm a rat, but I'm not going to get into semantics here, right? And you think this convention would be a banner week for a rat. Fat white people, lots of spillage, pretzel chunks everywhere. Republicans think everyone should be happy with their leavings. Well, let me tell you, I've consumed my body weight in processed cheese this week, and that's just their speeches. I don't know which one is going to take longer for me to crap into some dark corner. Sorry about the language, I'm a rat. This is why I can't have nice things. So there was McCain, clearly a douchebag. And Giuliani, I mean, I don't know what 9/11 is, but I could tell this bald a-hole was lying about it. And Arnold, what's with the girly man crap? I could crawl up his ass and he'd never know it. And Laura Bush, man, I'd like to pop out at her in the White House dining room. And Zell Miller, even among rats, he's considered unclean. And Rick Santorum, hey, pal, why don't you just come out of the closet and spare us a gay bashing, huh? You know you want to. And Cheney, oh, my God, if rats had a deity, this kind of guy we'd pray to, he'd eat me raw just to make a point. I wish I could say the music acts were better, but Brooks and Dunn, Third Day, now, since I live at the Garden, I've heard them all. The Stones, The Dead, Springsteen, Ozzy, so I got high standards. But let me tell you, even Cher was better than these jokers. So I try to escape the horrible noise, all right, by going downstairs, and I wind up under the stage, and suddenly, coming towards us, is Bush, the big cheese ball himself. Forget about it! He looks soft. Me and a few guys can eat him easy, go totally Willard on his ass. So Bush gets on a platform and rises up to the stage, and who does he think he is, Elvis? All the morons go nuts, yelling 4 more years and all that crap. And I look around and I see an outlet and a plug for Bush's microphone. How do I know this? I heard it on the radio from Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman in New Jersey. So I gather the fellows together and we start chewing on the cord. Bush is up there saying some crap about keeping us safe from terrorists, and it's getting really loud, and then jump! Silence. I say, shut up, you worm. And then, a good day's work done, I scurried back to my hole and waited for hockey season. I woke up and my bed was filled with stale relish. Wow, what a dream that was, man. What are you looking at, Riley? I'm so glad I got my back turned, or I would not be able to work.
Well, you know,
you're kind of looking around. Is it starting to percolate? Is Bill Bennett behind you?
No, he's
G. Gordon Liddy?
He's not behind
you.
Not yet. Not yet.
Card?
But, well, Tom Liddy was here, though.
Oh, really? I'm feeling a slight burning on my back. Anyone back there? Nothing?
No. No, but you know what? They're not looking at
you
from directly behind you.
Brendan P.W. McDonald's showing up with the food to season us.
Did they Linda it? Brought it.
Oh, is there
great Linda.
How come no one told me about the box of fat?
I didn't know it's not open yet. That's
I didn't know there was a box of sweet fat to be had.
Yes. Yes.
So let's hear that thing. I want to eat some fat. So let's hear that Dan Pashman made the news. He was on VUR in Boston. Listen to me, plugging public radio. Listen. Oh, he's on today.
Yeah, that's today.
NYC didn't pick it up, but they're right over there.
National Journal, they picked it up.
Picked up. Dan Pashman infiltrated, security breached city, and we've got it on tape. He got friendly with a guy who's been working at the Garden for years. Let's hear that, Kalo, can we?
This is Dan Pashman for Air America. I am underneath Madison Square Garden, underneath the stage here with our friend the stagehand. We just passed the dressing rooms. So the ice is beneath us right now?
No, this is the floor of the arena. This is where we build the ice. Where the Knicks play, where we play concerts,
right.
The performance stages. And this is the lift. And each one of those poles is rated for like 12,000 pounds.
Wow. So we could get some fat singers up there.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We are underneath the stage here. So, hypothetically, if somebody wanted to cut out George W. Bush's teleprompter right as he begins his speech, is this where you'd want to be to do that?
I'm not even sure where that would be. This is mostly audio.
So to cut out his mic, this is where I'd want to be?
Yeah, you could do that.
I could cut out his mic from down here?
Room over there.
Bulletproof room back there. That thing there says do not touch. What's that?
What's that? That's for this lift here, for the toaster. And the podium. The podiums come out of the deck also.
So we're directly beneath the podium?
Yeah, that's the podium right here.
That is the podium. The main podium is right there. We are directly underneath it at this time. Now, do not touch, so we shouldn't touch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the control point.
Now, what if we wanted to type in silly words into the president's teleprompter speech? Where would we go to do that?
There's a booth right on the stage where that is, where the teleprompter operates. So we go. See the way we came? If we came from the other way, they wouldn't let us in here. So I thought I'd be about that.
Right. And now you said all these signs back here, all those signs that look like they're hand-painted, actually have been trucked in and printed?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of 4 more years signs. I think if you add up all these years, this is like 1 billion years.
Yeah.
Woofa.
Yeah.
You know there's no media in this part of the floor? Jazz on it?
I did not.
Mm-mm. No media on the fifth floor. Like okay. In the OP?
Okay.
No go.
Okay, we'll head out then. All right, I just got kicked out of the Republican National Convention. Ow! I'll let you throw it back to the guys.
All right, this is Local One stagehand, 9-year stagehand of Madison Square Garden. Back to you, Mark and Mark.
Thanks for throwing back to us. I hope he's. I hope that fellow's okay. I hope everything's all right with that guy. Did you see him around? Oh, good. Hey, let's keep going on this. Let's keep going on this Cheney stuff because, like, I've got some facts here, Mark Riley, that you started with, but I want to just run them down because, you know, Zell Miller in his sort of, panic defensive, sort of pseudo-patriotic rage last night brought up all these weapon systems. Now, the Apache helicopter, I mean, Kerry has supported $13 billion in defense authorizations for the Apache. Cheney tried to kill the program.
Yes.
The Bradley. Kerry backed at least $8.5 billion in defense authorizations for the Bradley fighting vehicle. Cheney tried to kill this program.
Yes.
Blackhawk. Kerry backed at least $13 billion in defense authorizations on versions of the Blackhawk. Cheney tried to kill this program. Tomahawk missiles. Kerry supported at least $6 billion in defense authorizations for the Tomahawk. Cheney tried to kill this program as well. All of those. And this guy, a draft deferrer, a guy who got his wife pregnant in order to avoid serving this country on the battlefield in Vietnam, has the audacity to draw these kind of judgments against a decorated war hero who not only had the patriotic verve and loyalty to fight for this country, but then to come back and question the integrity of the leaders who sent these kids to war. That's a misunderstanding about that SWIFTBO thing, is that the speech that Kerry gave was he was posing a question to Nixon.
Not only that, I mean, Cheney did this stuff as defense secretary. He wasn't some pundit somewhere. It's incredible that he has the gall to do this. Anyway, coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation. John Kerry gets in gear, and Democratic National Committee Chair Terry McAuliffe when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Election day is around the corner. Everyone's making promises. But if you're a homeowner strapped for cash, you need someone who can help you now. Omega Mortgage can help. Take advantage of rates lower than 6%, even if you have imperfect credit.
This is Jim Eichenbaum with Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. And even if you've had past credit problems, we can still help you take advantage of rates even below 6%. So don't be misled by other lenders who keep asking for more time and more paperwork. At Omega, there's no bait and switch, no upfront fees, just straight talk and honesty.
Save thousands of dollars in less than 20 minutes. No W-2s, no mountains of paperwork. So you've been late on your mortgage payment. So you've had a bankruptcy. Omega Mortgage can still lower your monthly house payment. Omega specializes in refis for homeowners just like you. Use your equity, get cash, and get a rate below 6%. If Omega Mortgage can save you at least $2,000, they won't waste your time. Call now, 888-32-APPLY. That's 888-322-2259. Licensed by the California LDRE, number 01411312, 888-32-APPLY.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Security is extra tight in New York this morning, especially around the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, where President Bush is staying as he prepares for his convention appearance tonight at the Garden. Authorities are preparing for more protests today, the final day of the convention. Despite all the praise for President Bush this week, it appears that it has had no impact on his poll numbers. Race between Bush and Democrat John Kerry is back at a dead even. Bush is hoping to hit one out of the park tonight as he gives his acceptance speech, making a case for another term. Some Democrats are steaming over all the attention for Bush this week and the negative impact of the series of Swift boat ads. They're calling on John Kerry to turn up the heat on Bush and hit him where he's most vulnerable, the economy, jobs, and Iraq. And Florida's Governor Jeb Bush has been a no-show at the Republican convention as his state's the hurricane. Some pundits say Bush's handling of the impact of the weather could have an impact on his brother's bid for another term. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio.
The blockbuster event of the year. All the thrills. All the chill. Romance. Comedy. Drama.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
It's fun for the whole family. All your favorite E! Entertainment TV shows, all on Sirius E! Entertainment Radio 136.
This is Earth and Sky. We've had many, many questions from people over the last 2 months about the bright object in the east before dawn.
For example, in early July, Chris Rubenstrunk in Phoenix, Arizona wrote, "I've seen a brilliant object in the eastern sky. It was so bright that the first time I saw it, I thought it was an incoming plane. The object has appeared in the same location for the last week."
Chris and everyone else who's seeing this object in the eastern pre-dawn sky, it's the planet Venus. This is the brightest planet visible from Earth. It orbits the Sun one step inward from our orbit. Venus crossed in front of the Sun on June 8th for the first time in 120 years. Venus doesn't cross the Sun's face very often, according to our human sense of time, but all of us on Earth can see Venus often. It'll be the brightest object in the east before dawn through the end of this year.
There's another planet right next to Venus this week. It's a world being seen close up right now by the orbiting Cassini spacecraft. Saturn was shown by Cassini to have rings in a variety of pastel colors. Cassini also found Saturn's day to be about 6 minutes longer than earlier measurements indicated. This planet now appears to spin once on its axis about every 10 hours, 45 minutes. So look for golden Saturn near brilliant Venus in the east before dawn.
And for sky charts, come see us at earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
All right, it's getting a little weird. It's getting a little weird here, Riley.
Sure is. Always weird.
Well, see, I'm not watching my back, man, and I'm hoping everyone, you guys, are watching my back.
Don't worry, man.
I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley here.
Good morning.
We're here on the Morning Tradition on Air America Radio. It's 33 past the hour, and apparently Pat's been walking down Radio Row, and the talk show guy from Tennessee just went douchebag, huh?
Yeah.
It's a comedy piece, I guess. That's the weird thing is I don't possess the fundamental respect of the office of president that is necessary to not necessarily call them names. Some people, and they were playing on that, I think, a lot last night, is some people, Americans, possess a deep deep-seated respect in their soul for the office of president. And I, you know, I guess I have that to some degree as far as honoring the structure of our government. But in my lifetime, there have been very few presidents that I couldn't, that, you know, that I revered, I guess. I mean, you're a little older than me. Your memory's a little clearer.
There was a, I think, to some extent, there was a reverence for John Kennedy that kind of materialized after he died.
Right.
After he was assassinated. Lyndon Johnson, I don't think anybody could say
my
he was revered.
My mother loved John Kennedy.
Really?
Yeah, when he was alive.
Because there was such a sense of optimism in the country, and his assassination, I think, really dashed that optimism. In that period from when Kennedy died in 63 up through the Democratic Convention in 68 were some extremely turbulent times in this country.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Lyndon Johnson presided over that time. And by 68, he was done. He didn't want to be bothered. Richard Nixon, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford, nice guy, just played football with his helmet off too much.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter... Now, I didn't revere Jimmy Carter, but I did respect Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Very much so, because he tried to do some things that the country is still trying to do today. You know, Jimmy Carter was the one that brought up the issue of energy sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, moving away from fossil fuels. He wanted to, you know, force the automakers to hit a certain benchmark in terms of gas mileage. All of that stuff was his idea.
So he started the dialogue that was then shut down by, would it be the Reagan
years? The Reagan years. As soon as the price of gas dropped a little bit, everybody stopped talking about it.
And then Bush was all about the oil.
Well, yeah.
Bush won.
Clinton.
See, I had a deep contempt for Bush 1, even though, you know, I wasn't, you know, that politically active. It was just, I have an innate problem
with spies?
No, with condescension and that type of authority, the sort of bullying authority, the kind of like tough love stuff. This president as well. I just have a contempt of the arrogance of the disposition. But now that I'm a little more, certainly a lot more informed and a lot more political, I have so many more reasons to disrespect this particular president.
Well, see, this party is about, and this convention is about, we have the answers. We are right. Anybody who opposes us is not just wrong, but unpatriotic and unfit, more importantly. Now, not unfit to live, obviously, but unfit to participate in the dialogue that this party has created.
Even with Zell Miller last night when he was talking about these soldiers who, you know, we have never disrespected on our show.
Absolutely.
We don't, yeah. You know, and he was saying they're the ones out there fighting for the right for us to protest. You know, and that's true.
That's absolutely
true. And I certainly appreciate that. Then he said they're the ones out there fighting for our right for protesters to, what was it, shamefully burn the flag of the air? Or I can't remember how he put it.
He put it like the protest was wrong.
Right, right. He says that they give us the right to protest and speak and, you know, out against our leaders and to speak our minds with freedom, and then he takes it away.
Takes it right back. Well, John Kerry seems to be starting to fight back. He was, as you mentioned, windsurfing, I guess, in Nantucket just a couple days ago. He has taken put the vacation on hold. He went down to the American Legion National Convention in Nashville. He spoke to the Legionnaires, and of course, again, he's walking into the belly of the beast there, because there are still a lot of veterans. Remember that the American Legion consists primarily of older vets, guys that remember, the few that remember World War II, Korea, and to some extent Vietnam. And these are the guys that really, some of them, really resent John Kerry's coming back from the war and being opposed to it.
Well, see, but the thing is weird is, like, I watched Karl Rove, you know, talk to that idiot John King.
Was he in the service, Karl Rove?
No, he wasn't, though, but he was spinning this with this administration is completely saying, you know, like, Rove, they're all on point with this, and George Bush saying, hey, you know, John Kerry should be proud of his service. You know, but they're letting the Swift Boat ads exist, and the only thing they're saying about them is we should disallow all 527s, all, you know, privately funded, you know, ad campaigns. But the thing is then Rove starts talking about his uncle, who was in Vietnam, mm-hmm. and about how, the dignity of his uncle, and that, you know, John Kerry, you know, came back and said these things about the Vietnam veterans, about the atrocities, and about all this. Now, the thing is like, I don't know whether it's denial or shame or just an oath of loyalty, but these things happened. My Lai happened. I mean, not all of them did that, but it happened, mm-hmm. and they knew it happened, and they saw it happen, and the truth of the matter is for them to disregard the fact that happened and to make that okay just because they were at war, it does indict them on some level.
Well, see, what you have is a lot of service people said, look, I didn't participate in Mili. I didn't go around killing babies.
Well, that's not what Kerry was saying either.
I know. Yeah. I know. Absolutely. But, see, there's always been a very deep sense of denial about the war crimes that took place during Vietnam. There have been war crimes in virtually every war. You ask the Japanese about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they'll tell you that is a war crime.
But, like, moving the dialogue forward, I mean, Kerry is going to take some action. He's got big advertising campaigns starting at the day after Labor Day.
In seven states.
Yeah, he's going to spend about $50 million. Unbelievable. Can't they just kick me about? If they gave me like a $500,000, I'd be good. I'd be good for a while.
No, you know what we need to do?
What?
We need to become consultants, man. We can make more than a $500,000 between the two of them. We can make a $500,000 each.
I'm not expecting any kickbacks, but, you know, for
it's not a kickback, it's a fee.
But we're already carrying some bag. You know, we're already
that's
doing
exactly
some lifting.
My point. There's no kickback.
But apparently he's going to open. They're going to be in Ohio, Florida, Iowa, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Wisconsin. I have respect for John Kerry. I he's a career politician. I know he's not great on everything, but you know what? I think he's a sensitive guy, which is a good thing in my eyes. He's a diplomatic guy. He's a guy that thinks things through. He operates at his own groove. And after I heard that testimony in 1971 to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I really saw an earnestness and a deep sort of emotional soul. And, you know, to think that this guy would not be responsive, like I didn't get to ask Bloomberg the other day, that, you know, we had a president that sat there for 7 minutes listening to second graders read him a story when he was told that America was under attack. And to think, for anyone to even begin to think that a guy who was the commander of a swift boat in Vietnam, taking hits, taking bullets, you know, when he was told, if he were to be told that America was under attack, to think that he wouldn't immediately snapped into action and done the appropriate thing as a military person is ridiculous.
Well, it's the proper thing. That's the important. John Kerry is a proper individual.
I don't even think Bush knew the protocol. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even know that he had the pamphlet that told him, like, how to be president. That, you know, this is what you do. You have the plane shot down. It's a sad thing. It may not be the best thing to do for the people that are on the planes, but you have them shot down.
Well, that was Dick Cheney, I think, was the one that was prepared to do that.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't get done.
No,
you know
it
what I mean? And it's like, to think that George Bush is the right listener. Now all of a sudden I'm whispering. To think that he is the right president on a military level because of, you know, just for that alone, for that transgression alone, for those 7 minutes, you know, he should be held responsible. You know, he should be held responsible for that lapse in judgment, for that inability to take command immediately because of a lack of military service. And the thought is that they're trying to politicize 9/11 here, that his greatest success was how he handled that. Well, the truth of the matter is that his greatest failure was that it happened.
Absolutely.
And he's the guy it happened. It was his watch.
All we have to say is August 6, 2001. Simple as that. The presidential daily briefing that said that someone was talking about trying to put some airplanes into a tall building. It was never acted on, it was ignored, and we know what happened.
And why isn't he being held? Complicity through negligence. And, you know, me and Pashman agree on this to some degree. Why did it happen if they knew? All right? Why? Operation Northwoods, anybody? We'll be back with Terry McAuliffe after this on Air America Radio.
Family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions. The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now having a great time. The Smiths are still stuck. Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather, Sirius 150 to 159.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month,
yes,
and your desire to just, you know, ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months to change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Playing the guitar. Going to a museum. Watching a movie. Eating French fries. Do you know what these things all have in common? When you do them with kids, you're helping to prevent crime. So spend time, anytime, with kids. You'll help keep them away from crime and help prevent crime in your community. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT. That's 1-800-W-E-P-R-E-V-E-N-T.
Shows tropical storms just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you'd like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
We're fighting for our lives here.
45 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Morning's Edition. It's Air America Radio. We are in it. We are in the celebration of fear and anxiety here at Madison Square Garden called the Republican National Convention. Tonight's the big night under the big tent. The circus, Barnum and Bailey's in town. Here we go. Here we go. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq. Birth of a Nation, Day 65. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Fine. No, it's nice here. President Bush is about to accept the nomination, so it's a big night for him. And since we're such close allies now, it's a big night for you, too. No. The Republicans don't celebrate with guns, at least not during the convention. Let me paint a picture for you. Government isn't just a means of providing goods and services for its people. It's also a main source of entertainment. And like it or not, you're in show business now. You are a supporting character in an over-budget tragic comedy called Operation Enduring Freedom. And congratulations. You were so convincing in that role that you've just been cast in another show which debuts tonight. This one is a hilarious farce starring beloved clown George W. Bush called Jackass, the Administration. At the climax, he gives a big speech in New York City, and that's where you come in. No, yeah. He'll start talking about what a great job he did in Iraq. Yeah, it's a comedy, get it? And then the camera will cut to you, and it's your job to look well-fed and happy. And stay in character. Don't be looking around for car bombs or missing relatives. You won't get paid, all right? This is you won't get paid, but it will count toward you getting your SAG card. Your next role will be in an exciting action film due out next year called Invasion of Iran. You play the helpful sidekick who gets killed in the first reel. See you at Spago. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is Day 65 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Right now on the phone, we've got some questions for this cat. Chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Democratic side, the Democratic side of the convention. He is he's here. He's in the war room. We're on the phone with him, and we need to know what's going on. Terry McAuliffe, how are you?
Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Everything going all right down there? You guys got a plan?
We got a plan, John. Terry, tonight at midnight hits the road, first rally in Michigan, then we're off. We got 60 days to go.
Isn't that a weird time to start a speech, midnight? Or
I think as soon as available, you know, protocol, he can't be out till the president's done.
Okay, okay.
As soon as he's done, I think it's great. We have had it, we're taking off, and he's going to really take it to him.
So that's a real protocol? I mean, that's not just sort of a weird tradition thing?
Yeah, I mean, especially while the president's going on, you got to give him that time. And we've been here, we've had 50 staff, we got television studios, radio. We have aggressively been out there every day. But, you know, your opponent, just as Bush did, you know, you're not supposed to be out during their campaign. But, the first time available, we're out. He's going to do the rally at midnight. Then he's off to Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, Florida, back to Ohio. 60 days. We're going to take it right to him.
Terry McAuliffe, about 24 hours ago, maybe a little more than that, John Kerry supposedly shook up his staff, moved some people around. Nobody got fired. Did your hand, was your hand behind any of that at all?
No. What I think happened is people are going to be brought into the campaign. We're 60 days to go. And no one was getting fired, but there are more people going to be added. And I've consistently said, when John Kerry won the nomination, he came over to my office the next day. We talked about this and that, talked about staff and all that. He made it clear, Terry, I want everybody all hands on deck. I want you to get Bill Clinton. I want you to get Al Gore. I want everybody helping this campaign. And that's been his attitude. And I think now with 60 days to go, many people who we wanted to get in, who couldn't get in, have now said, yep, time to come to the aid of the party. Let's go. So you're going to have a lot more people active in this campaign.
So did he consult with you at all before he made these changes?
I spoke to him last week, but, you know, we didn't talk about staff issues. We talked about other issues.
Hey, Terry, we got a lot of Democrats out there, a lot of people who are our listeners. They want to hear a little bit of what's in store. They're very excited to lash back at the Republicans after this circus that they put on here in New York. Will you tell us a little bit about that after we come back?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great. We'll be right back with Terry McAuliffe on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
You know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rame on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude. I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Rave, 10 a.m. Eastern weekdays, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Are you in the car right now with your kids? Sounds like the perfect time to ask them about the drug ecstasy. Go on, ask them. You have time right now to ask them. Think there's a better time? Maybe when you can sit down and have the talk? Aren't you sitting right now? The time to have the talk is right now. Lock the doors if you have to, because they're sitting right there. Go on, ask your kids about ecstasy. Right now. If you don't do it now, do you think you ever will? Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to askyourkidsabouti.com.
Three past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. We're talking to Terry McAuliffe, Chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Now, Terry, I'm one of these Democrats. I'm sort of a panicky, reactionary sort, and I know that we're, you know, it's a dead heat, and it's probably going to stay really close throughout the duration of this thing, and we're fighting for, you know, a small percentage of undecided votes. But whenever, you know, because I'm right in the belly of the beast here, and these guys are putting on a good show, I get nervous. What's Kerry got coming out of the gate? What's he going to do? What's he going to address?
He's going to hit right out starting tonight at midnight. He's going to go back. And listen, we got to be very, very responsive. The second they go after John Kerry, we got to punch him back. We got to do
it. What are the issues?
And I think everybody on your call believes that also. We're going to do that. I mean, the National Party, I went up with $40 million of advertising in the month of August, 20 times more than this party's ever done. We are going to aggressively go after him. The party's going to do it. John Kerry's going to go out, start this campaign, as I say, at midnight tonight. And for the next 60 days, he is going to work day in and day out. It is tight.
Now, how's he going to get off the defensive and start, you know, framing an effective debate here?
Yeah, he's got to go on the offensive. And that's, you know, what he says, very tough speeches that he's got to give.
Mm-hmm.
He announced himself that they're going to do $45 million worth of media. We're going to do,
But what are the first, like, you know, what are the list of points? Like, you've been watching the convention. You obviously have your reactions to it. You know, what are we coming back with in terms of message, a little bit of taste of it? You got anything?
Well, first of all, if you look at their three nights, you know, they have not used the word jobs or middle class.
Exactly.
Or healthcare. This has been a hate fest.
Yes.
I mean, we ran a convention that was positive. We never used Bush's name. Everybody knew about Bush. We wanted to give a positive vision. So I think viewers were frightened last night.
Frightening.
Viewers put their children to bed when Zell Miller was on television. They
scary man.
It was, I've never seen anything like it. Frightening.
Yes.
And HBO is going to have one of those security locks. I mean, for your children, you're worried about porno on it. You got Zell Miller screaming. I've never seen anything like it. It was frightening.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, you had Dick Cheney up there. But they spent three nights attacking John Kerry.
Did you know Cheney had three heart attacks during the speech and no one knew it?
I was afraid Zell Miller was going to blow up. I never seen anything like it. I thought the man was going to have a heart attack up on that
stage. Yeah, just an aneurysm. Bang!
Terry McAuliffe, one of the things that they're hitting John Kerry on is being soft on defense. How is he going to respond to that specific charge? Soft on defense, soft on national security.
Well, you know, he's got to address these issues himself. You know, my recommendation, I think you ought to just go out there and he ought to do a sit-down press conference. And boy, just, you know, they're, you know, and I'm up here and I do the radio row every day and I see what these conservative talking points are every single day.
Yeah.
And you hear them inside the hall there. They're driving them over and over. We got to address these issues, hit them hard. The only thing they got is to run on the war on terror and scare people. They can't obviously talk about any of the
They got nothing. They got nothing.
And they haven't talked about it.
Hey, Terry, we've been talking about John Kerry for months now, and John Kerry has not talked to us. I want him to come on Morning's Edition, and I want him to, you know, to chat with us. What are the chances? Can you make it happen?
I will. I'll talk to him. Absolutely.
Oh, that'd be great.
No, you guys have been great. I mean, you know, we got to get out with the people. They want to hear from
him. We're people.
People are concerned, as you should be. We had a lead. It is obviously tightened up. Our supporters are getting nervous. I just say, please, let's just use this to energize us. We got to get out and fight, and John Kerry's got to speak to not only those swing boys, he's got to swing to the people who have been with him in the base of the party.
Yeah.
And he's got to fire them up. So we have got to do things differently. We've got to get them much more aggressively out there.
Yeah.
And I told John this the other day when I talked to him. Listen, I'm very partisan. I believe you ought to be in their face, hands around the throat, day one.
We're ready to help out. Just have them give us a call.
Deal. All right, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you later. All right, so... let's see if that happens.
I think it'll happen. I think he'll do his level best to make it happen.
Come on. He can't be afraid of us. And now it's time. Now it's time to talk to the
people.
Why
would he be afraid of us under any circumstances?
I know. It's not like I'm going to put him on the spot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think it's time for him to talk to Morning Sedition.
Chris Rock or anything. I'm not Jamie Foxx. I'm not somebody who's going to, you know.
Me neither. I'm not any of those people. And I'm Mark Maron, damn it.
There you go. I mean, look.
And my vote matters.
People have concerns about what John Kerry has done up until now. I'm an optimist. I still believe.
You believe it's going to be what? What was your number?
I believe 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
8 to 10 points. Newt Gingrich said it was going to be 16 in favor of Bush.
And that's crazy. So you know what? I'm going to say, just to get some money on it, I'm going to say 4 points. Will you go $50 on that?
$50?
You stick with 8,
I'll
say 4.
Pal.
All right.
There you go.
What do we got coming up?
Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition, another Republican for John Terry, the president's Palm Pilot, the presidential daily briefing, and so much more here for you on Air America Radio, live from Madison Square Garden.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's the final day of the Republican National Convention in New York. President Bush is already preparing for his address tonight at the Garden. With a presidential race and a dead even, Bush is hoping his speech tonight will hit a home run with the American voters. Bush could least afford a miscommunication in his address this evening. Early in the week, the Democrats gave Bush hell for flip-flopping on his handling of the war on terrorism. Bush campaign staffers are reportedly making sure the president pays close attention to the script tonight. Protest demonstrations against Bush and the Republicans will be at an all-time high today. On this, the final day of the convention, demonstrators made their voices heard yesterday, harassing Republican delegates wherever they could get their attention. There was one protest in which participants carried a symbolic pink slip and formed a human wall for several city blocks to dramatize the nation's huge unemployment lines. One protester said George W. Bush must be fired this fall.
We're kids, and, like, this is our future. We don't want to grow up in a government that's, like, not correct and that has bad policies. We are here today to tell everybody that we want to fire Bush.
One of the protesters at yesterday's demonstration over the nation's huge jobless rate. Elsewhere, there was a bombing this morning within proximity of the Russian school near the Chechnya border. Still too early to determine casualties or injuries suffered in the blast as that hostage holdup continues. From out of Washington this morning comes word that the government is demanding stricter security for all flights coming to the United States from Moscow. It's ordering two airliners to check all passengers and their carry-on luggage for bombs and conduct more thorough screening of all cargo put aboard passenger planes. Homeland Security officials say the two must also take additional security precautions around the aircraft when they are at the Moscow airport. United Nations reporters stepped up international monitoring in Sudan. Report says the Sudanese government has not stopped attacks against civilians or disarmed militias. A July 30th Security Council gave the Sudanese government 30 days to demonstrate that it is taking action against Arab militias accused of terrorizing villages in Darfur region. Government also was told to improve security and humanitarian access or face economic and diplomatic sanctions. Report to the Security Council did not mention or recommend sanctions, but it does say the government has not been able to resolve the crisis in Darfur. Secretary of State Colin Powell says the United States plans to press for a range of possible UN Security Council sanctions against Iran in response to what he describes as a concerted effort by that country to develop nuclear weapons. Powell told reporters last night the United States will urge the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Group on September 13th in Vienna to refer to the Iranian case to the UN Security Council for immediate action. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Do you know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rehm on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude.
I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Ray, 10 a.m. Eastern weekday, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky, Friday, August 27th. Today, Earth's moving between the outer planet Uranus and the Sun. Astronomers would say that Uranus is in opposition to the Sun today. It rises in the east within 2 minutes of sunset this evening and casts its dim light in the sky all night.
Uranus is theoretically visible to the eye alone, but few people ever glimpse this distant world without some optical aid. If you could see it, you'd find that Uranus is in front of the constellation Aquarius, the water carrier. Though very faint, this planet stands apart from the glittering stars because it shines steadily with a greenish color. Stars rarely, some say never, appear green. If you could turn a telescope on Uranus, you'd see a tiny greenish disk.
Because we're going between the Sun and Uranus, this planet is now closest to us for this year. A radio signal from Earth would take more than 2.5 hours to travel to Uranus tonight. And sunlight bouncing from the cloud tops of Uranus takes that long to travel to Earth. Uranus is several million kilometers farther away this year than at last year's opposition. This planet is now moving from its closest point to the Sun in 1966 to its farthest point in the year 2009.
For today, that's our show. For daily sky watching information, visit our website at earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, bitter people. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, the self-indulgent, the sensitive, and the faint-hearted.
Don't forget the hippies.
Of course, the hippies. Who asked me that? Nick DiPaolo last night. He's like, hey, why do all those protesters, you know, why do they all wear that, all those bracelets and stuff around their hands? What does that mean? I go, that's just... Yeah, that's just a hippie. Right now, the Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present Rapture Watch. Pay attention, swathmongers. You better set your alarms for 6:30 Messiah, because here comes Jesus Claus. Here comes Jesus Claus. Right down Jesus Claus Lane. That's right. I told you the rapture was upon us countless times before, but you didn't heed my words then, and for that you paid the ultimate price. Nothing. But aha, this time it's for real. Hey, I'm not just making this crap up as I go along, you know. It's all here in blacketh and whiteth. According to British newspapers, the head of the European Union says that all member countries must compete under the same flag in the next Olympics. The same flag. That's a sign of the one world dominance that will surely set in motion the tribulation era. Whatever the hell that is. Great story if it ends there, right? But, well, wait, there's more. Providing he doesn't grope any Republican delegates, the great Antichrist himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger, will surely become our next Kaiser after Bush. That's right, Kaiser, uniting the world with steroid abuse and weird speech patterns. For it was clearly foretold in Revelation 19 between 2nd and 3rd Avenues, just around the corner from Smiler's Deli, and I quote, "Come and gather yourselves together that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them." Okay, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. I'm lazy, so sue me. But you get the message. We're all going to be eating captains and horses and mighty men. I mean, if Kindergarten Cop wasn't a portent of the coming destruction of this current world system, I don't know what is. Come on, it was virtually plotless, people. Doesn't anyone hire writers anymore? Your time's up, and right now, so's mine. So keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell. May God have mercy on us all. This has been Rapture Watch on Morning Sedition. Let's do this speaker thing, too. You want to?
Yeah.
Tonight's speakers are, of course, as you know, this is the last night, and President Bush is trying to attract as many different groups as possible this week. He's trotting out a variety of speakers. Last night it was the creepy Rick Santorum and the even creepier Dick Cheney. Tonight's speakers are gymnast Mary Lou Retton, skater Dorothy Hamill, and then Junior Shrub himself. Let's see which groups he's trying to target with them. We've got this from, what's the matter? Is there a problem? What's going on over there? Come on, smarty pants. What's going on?
Keep going.
Is there someone behind me? I feel my back burning. Who's behind me?
Gordon Liddy? No.
No Gordon Liddy?
No. Bob Haldeman? No. Erdman? No.
Bill Bennett wanted in on our bet before.
I know.
But
50 long.
Also, Terry McAuliffe didn't give us a lot of information.
Terry's busy, I guess. He's plotting strategy. He's doing something.
All right, let's see. Let's see who they're trying to target with Mary Lou Retton. This is all done by a service that we have that decides this stuff. It's they're polling and speculating, and they're looking into the crystal ball. So here, Mary Lou Retton, they're trying to target, of course, the neocon shills under 5 feet tall, the coalition of the limber, bulimic tumblers for Jesus, of course, victims of childhood perkiness. That's a big contingent there. Survivors of cloying, tampon, and battery ads. And
in that order?
Yeah, the Society for Abnormally Late Menstruation.
Ooh.
Menstruation. Dorothy Hamill, they are trying to target ice midgets for Bush. The United Association of Bull Haircuts. The Leif Garrett Society for Forgotten 70s Celebrities. Skaters United Against Crushed Cartilage, Pop Kneecaps, and Torn Tendons. And the League of Weepy Unicorn Lovers.
Ooh.
Nothing. George Bush, of course, the president. Why do you keep saying of course when I read lists? Is that some sort of weird kind of media habit? Of course, we have the people that Bush is trying to target. The Crawford Fake Cowboy Association. Texas Association of Retarded Death Row Inmates.
None left.
Patriots who love to drink arsenic water. United Non-Veterans for War, Vacation Lovers of America, the AWOL Club, the American Non-Blinking Sociopaths Club. Is that about the wife? All right. National Association for the Advancement of Colorless People, Saudi Arabia, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Yellowstone Snowmobilers for Bush, Cut Down a Tree for Jesus Foundation, the Promise Breakers, Christian Gays Against Gays, Society for the Destruction of the English Language, Daughters of Alcoholic Fathers, and Fathers of Alcoholic Daughters, the Underachieving Yale Cheerleaders Club, the Society for the Abolition of Embarrassing Arrest Records, Of course, PETA, Presidents for Eliminating Truth in America, and Halliburton Legal Defense Fund. And finally, the Lonely One-Term Presidents Club.
All right. All right.
Man, so where does that bring us? We've still got, look at that. There's a guest on the phone. And I don't, here we go. This guy is another one of our Republicans for Kerry. He's created a website, www.anotherrepublicanforkerry.com. He's Tom Therese is with us. Hello, good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How is it over there?
All right.
It's creepy, Tom. How do you think it is?
Well, I was watching that speech of Cheney's last night, and I had trouble sleeping. So.
Do you know he had 27 heart attacks during that speech?
I'll tell you, I've never seen so much venom and hate. You know, you just want to.
Did you watch Zell Miller?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That was like he topped the scales on venom and hate.
Yeah, the Ed McMahon to.
demonic Ed McMahon. So, how did you come to your decision to vote for Kerry? Because you sound definitely anti this administration.
Right. Well, you know, I have one phrase, and that is, "Look at the report card."
Yeah.
You know, George Bush got C's in school, and he's getting C's at best as president. Look at the numbers, and you know, you've looked at the numbers. Here in Ohio, we have 230,000 jobs lost in the past few years. Right down the street, you know, unemployed folks. Poverty numbers have gone up.
We've 35 million below the poverty line.
Yeah. We've got so many people there. We have 45 million people without health care coverage. We're the only industrialized nation without health care coverage for all.
An embarrassment.
It is, and it's not right. And this president, he's a high-stakes gambler who makes very questionable judgments.
Mm-hmm. And he's gambling so his friends who are sitting at the table with him make out.
And what's so bad is that he's dried up this treasury, and I've got two kids ages 6 and 9. They're going to be paying off the biggest credit card bill in U.S. history.
Unbelievable. It is going to last a few generations, that's for sure.
You bet. We've got Social Security on thin ice. We've got Medicare on thin ice. This isn't fear tactics. This is reality.
Exactly.
And people need to do their homework and look into George Bush's report card.
Now, were you a Reagan fan?
I was a Reagan fan. Yeah, I was born in 63, so, you know, I was just getting into adulthood when Reagan emerged on the national scene, and I was caught up in that whole thing. In fact, I was...
That's weird, because we're the same age, Tom, and I was caught up in punk rock music at the time.
Yeah, I think I broke a few of your records. I was such a Reagan fan that my sister-in-law, an avowed liberal, still, you know, barely talks to me.
Oh, wow.
And my dad was such a Reagan enthusiast that when Reagan passed away, as a memorial for my dad, I gave him a framed photo of that Newsweek cover with a picture of Reagan.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? My dad was a pay-as-you-go Republican, born in 1920. Fiscal conservative type guy. He also believed in what works and didn't believe in starving government, but having a government that worked and served everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
uh-huh.
the kind of bolt of cloth I'm cut from. And this president is far, far out of step with that.
Tom, was there a point, was there an epiphany for you? Was there a point at which you said, you know what, I just can't vote for this guy? And if so, what was it?
Right. Well, my brother worked at Seven World Trade. That's the third building that went down. It went down at 5 o'clock. Now, my brother is safe. We know so many Americans and others died. It's such a tragedy. Now, after that attack, we were very supportive of Bush as we went into Afghanistan and ejected the Taliban. But after that victory, it seems like everything has gotten off track. You know, $180 billion spent on Iraq, but worse than that, we've got nearly 1,000 American lives gone. We've got 12,000 Iraqi casualties there dead, 40,000 wounded on the Iraqi side, 7,000 Americans wounded. This is an enormous toll. Now, the guy who tried to kill my brother and is still on the loose.
Yep.
And you know, sure, we've got Saddam Hussein in the can, and that is great. But let us not forget that Bin Laden is still out there.
Hasn't mentioned him. No one's mentioned him this entire convention.
True.
No. Now, he needs to be caught. And in addition to him being caught, you know, we've created this number one world's breeding ground for terrorists in Iraq.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, anyone can see that who does even the most negligible amount of homework.
Several different terrorist franchises are there.
Oh, yeah, it's the Grand Central Station of terrorism now.
So why do you think so many Republicans are still supporting Bush?
Well, the conservatives have done such a good job of taking control over the language. They frame these issues. You know, they talk about tax relief. Tax relief. Well, you know, the everyday person hears the term tax relief, and by golly, I want tax relief, right?
Right.
The fact is, it's really a tax shell game. You know, and the Congressional Budget Office told that in clear terms. They said, you know, a third of the tax payoff is going to the 1% economic elite. Now, think about this, America. This is a tax shell game. Your state taxes are going up. Your property tax is going up. Your health care premiums are going up. And just wake up. In our neighborhood here in a neighboring school district, parents have to pay $425 per kid per sport. Yeah, isn't that incredible?
That is incredible.
Two questions, and then we got to get out here. How do you think Kerry is going to be as president, and how do you think Kerry can win some people over here?
Okay.
Specifically, your kind of folk.
Right. I think he needs to be clear on the trade-off issue, that this president has been a high-stakes gambler, that every toss of the dice is turning up a losing roll, and that we need to take back the country to save things like Medicare, Social Security, to keep our kids from having to pay an even higher credit card bill.
And not to let them use those as chips at this gambling table you're talking about.
Right. This is just recklessness.
Absolutely. Tom, thanks.
How many times do we have to get hit in the head by the 2x4 before we say no more?
Absolutely. I'm with you. The website is www.anotherrepublicanforkerry.com. Tom Therese, appreciate you being here. It's great talking to you.
You bet. Good luck.
You take care of yourself. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
The presidential election is just around the corner. The right has their propaganda. Make sure you have yours. Northern Sun can help. For over 25 years, we've been supplying the American left with t-shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and a whole lot more. Do you think we need a president selected fairly? Tell your fellow Americans with a bumper sticker. Redefeat Bush in 2004. Do you think we need a smarter president? Say it with a t-shirt. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. Do you think we need an honest president? Tell him with a bike sticker. Bush lied, thousands died. With hundreds of bumper stickers, buttons, and American-made t-shirts, Northern Sun can help you wear your thoughts on your sleeve, car, or bicycle. Visit northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog. And if your group has a unique message, we can custom print it on shirts, buttons, or bumper stickers. Remember, regime change begins at home, so let's vote Bush out. Call 800-258-8579 or visit northernsun.com. Thank you, and God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No. Wait. He's a little unsteady. Oh, it looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble now. Oh, God, it hurts!
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kelly Slater, and Gary Wolf, the top extreme sports star. All with exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
My knee.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBato, re-upped for military service, was rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in, get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
My heart is lost.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
We're going to talk to Brian Lehrer in just a second. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good day.
Hey, Brian, you get one of these toys over your show? Can you make noises?
I don't. Oh, is that what it is? It's a sound effect?
Yeah.
It's the replay.
Sure. We don't have that in public radio.
You got to get one of these.
We're too sedate.
Yeah, you know, you got to get...
That would fit right in with what I do.
It's the NPR Morning Zoo.
So Ramon has been escorted out. He gave his presidential palm pilot earlier. It was nice to meet him finally. And this is the schedule for the president today. 8 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. I am a golden god. Anoint my body with sacred oils, and the multitude shall praise my name throughout the land. 10 a.m., meet with Cheney, congratulate him on last night's speech. Scratch behind his ears and feed him dead flies. 11:30 a.m., attend prayer service, New York. Note, don't touch the holy water. It burns. It burns. 12:45 p.m., tour Madison Square Garden, hereafter known as Brooks and Dunn Rockin' Country Garden. 1:30 p.m., meet Satan. Receive talking points. Thank him for choosing the tie to wear tonight. Color, hell red. 3 p.m., order out for food. Wait for it to arrive via Air Force One from Dallas. 5 p.m., meet with ordinary New Yorker. Thank her for the extra towels. Have her and her family arrested and sent back to Puerto Rico. Nothing, Brian? Nothing? No laugh on that one? Nothing?
I'm laughing under my breath.
Okay. 10 p.m., speak at Republican National Convention and accept renomination for president. Note, if Jesus comes back, have security make him wait until after the balloons. You don't have to laugh, Brian. It's okay. I understand I understand. It's serious time. 12 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thought. Quote, 4 more years in the White House, 3 more years of paid vacation. End quote. Here we go. Brian Lehrer is the host of the Brian Lehrer Show here in New York on public radio. He's a 15-year veteran of political talk and one of my inspirations, actually. I used to listen to you every morning. Welcome to my show.
I am touched, and I'm sorry that you were unemployed for that long.
Well, I live a comics life, so we get to sleep till about 11. I didn't get up early enough to hear whatever that other show is. What was it, Morning Edition or something like that? Wait, you're on it. You come on at what time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock here in New York. So that was perfect for me. I'm just getting up. I ease in. So you talked to Bloomberg yesterday.
That's right.
We talked to him the other day. You've talked to him many times?
Yes, many times.
Yes.
Now, what's your impression of where he's at with this whole convention?
This whole convention? Well, you know, he thought he was going to do a good deed for the city in economic terms.
Yeah.
And then I think that it kind of crept up on him just how unpopular this was turning out to be with people in the city at large. And, you know, for those of you who know New York politics, Mayor Bloomberg has to run in a mostly Democratic town. He's kind of feigning Republicanism to some degree anyway.
Yes.
And so he's been trying to take as low a profile as he possibly can at this convention because it may do him some good with the party. It may do him some good in some other ways. But, you know, he certainly doesn't want to look like George Bush and Tom DeLette.
When we talked to him, we had a good interview with him, and I thought we took him to task on a couple of things. Maybe, you know, but we actually got some mail of people that were like, you know, you didn't go far enough, man. You should have taken him down. It's like, I you know.
Well, welcome to talk radio, Mark. We get that mail every day. You were too hard on him. You weren't hard enough on him. And that's our life now.
And you don't go to bed going, oh, man, that guy, whatever his name is, Joe in New Jersey.
Astoria.
Yeah, it doesn't bother you?
Sometimes it bothers me.
Now, what do you think of him as a mayor, I mean, overall, as a New Yorker?
I think that he's I think he's doing a pretty good job, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we don't like to say that it's good to be a billionaire, you know, independently self-financed mayor, but I think it's also made him somewhat independent. And I think more than a lot of other politicians, he just does what he really thinks is right for New York City.
And that he's been disenfranchised by both the Democrats and the Republicans, so he's just a rich guy all alone. So, okay, of course he's independent.
That's right. Can I say something about Talk Radio Row?
Oh, yes, please.
It is a conservative neighborhood, as you might have noticed.
Yes.
And you guys are the loudest talk show on the block. Everybody else, well, we're here. There are a lot of radio stations around us. And, you know, and Mark.
We don't care.
Like,
You're like, hey, okay, it's morning tradition. You know,
I guess it's just because I'm not near Hannity, though, to hear him, who's probably louder than you.
And whenever we laugh, they look at us with jealous eyes, like, who the hell are they to be having fun on our watch?
And I just want to tell you guys that I think it's really good for democracy that you exist.
Because
this is not to say I agree with you on every issue or not, but that if in a commercial marketplace there can be so many commercial conservative talk radio stations and networks, there should be room for the market in a 50-50 country to at least support one liberal one.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Brian.
All right. Thanks for stopping by. It's great meeting you.
Appreciate
great talking.
Thank you, guys.
You take care. Hope to see you soon.
All right.
Right over there.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll watch you walk through the booth right over there.
There you go.
We'll see you over there.
Fashion show.
When we come back, the presidential daily briefing, the liberal agenda, and so much more here live from Madison Square Garden on Air America Radio.
The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at Barnes & Noble music locations.
The Revolution Starts Now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush is gearing up for his acceptance speech tonight, the finale of the Republican National Convention. Today will be marked with more demonstrations against the president and the Republicans. There's one underway now by the group Housing Works, reportedly disrupting the flow of traffic in Midtown. Two explosions have hit the area around a Russian school in the second day of a takeover by militants from Chechnya. Black smoke is rising from the cordoned-off area following the blast that came about 10 minutes apart. Secretary of State Colin Powell says the United States plans to press for a range of possible U.N. Security Council sanctions against Iran. This in response to what he describes as a concerted effort by that country to develop nuclear weapons. And the economy is slipping. The Wall Street Journal reports that higher fuel prices are keeping drivers from using their cars to flock to the malls where many parents this time of the year are shopping for back-to-school clothing for their kids. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
George, kind of Romney and Dick, they're all in town to party. Convention chairs and delegates pitch you for the grand old party.
Okay, can we make sure all the balloons drop this time?
Yes, sirree, folks. It's the Republicans in the Big Apple, New York City, for their convention. RNC coverage from the left side on Sirius Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius LQ 149.
Here you have the RNC for the garden party.
This is Earth and Sky. When we visited the Bronx Zoo, we recorded this question.
My name is Sophia Newlis. I'm from Skyville, New York. What I want to know is what bird migrates the farthest.
Sophia, there are about 120 bird species with populations in the United States and south of the equator. Most of these species cross the equator during migration. For example, the red knot flies from New England to far southern South America.
Other birds stay in one hemisphere but go farther. For example, the wandering albatross spends most of its life aloft, circling the world over the southern oceans. It stops only to breed on storm-swept islands near Antarctica. A wandering albatross might fly 30,000 kilometers, that's 18,000 miles, between breedings.
But the farthest flyer is the Arctic tern, an elegant white seabird. It breeds on the shores of the Arctic Ocean in northern hemisphere summer, and it feeds over the southern oceans half a year later in southern hemisphere summer. North American Arctic terns fly about 40,000 kilometers, or 24,000 miles each year, about equal to the distance around the Earth.
An Arctic tern can live for 25 years, so in its lifelong quest for summer, it can fly a million kilometers, nearly three times the distance from the Earth to the Moon. Thanks for your question, Sophia. And with thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Back in it. We're in the belly of Leviathan. I can see the ribs. I can see, you know, some of the there's a few there's a couple of liberals that have been in here for a long time. And they're sort of, you know, rotting away here in the belly of Leviathan.
There's a line for the coffee machine.
Some guy named Jonah. Hey, it's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley, who was apparently preoccupied with
there's a line. I can't believe this. Look at that. Everybody wants coffee.
Yeah, these are these people that are like, wow, I'm really exhausted. It's 8:30. Really? Try two. How about 2:30 in the morning? Not that I'm being self-righteous. Right now we got the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Fear of Pashman Paralyzes New York. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that the extensive layers of security in Madison Square Garden have been breached by a criminal mastermind capable of unimaginable destruction. Masquerading as a producer at an obscure left-wing radio network, Dan Pashman, son of known communists Louis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, managed to insinuate himself underneath the stage where you are scheduled to speak tonight. His low-key, accommodating demeanor proved irresistible to security personnel who were woefully unprepared for such an attack. Apparently, Pashman decided not to strike this time, but he may just be toying with us. His master stroke could come at any time during the debate, during a press conference, during the swearing-in. Any public occasion should be considered unsafe until we have factored in the Pashman effect. Sadly, we have no recommendation. It's Pashman's world, and we just live in it. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. You know, maybe they're not as good as I thought, because it says here, the low-key accommodating demeanor. Wait, Dan Pashman, low-key, Captain Intensity. Hey, you guys, listen, here's what we got to do. Here's what we got to do. Okay? Am I right? Yahtzee. I'm sorry. Let's get on with the guest here. The Director of Environmental Integrity Project, former Director of the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Regulatory Enforcement. He resigned in 2002 when the Bush administration essentially allowed energy industry lobbyists to write the clean air regulations. Heinous, as I say. For the first time just now.
Uh-huh.
Please welcome Eric Schaefer to the show. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, Eric, how much has environmental policy regressed under the Bush administration? Be honest and be graphic and be mean.
Be graphic and be mean? That's not hard. you got the Clean Air Act. You started to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
We've got a lot of old coal-fired power plants in this country that are operating without pollution controls that we've
required. At all.
That we required from new plants for 25 years, we were starting to crack down on those guys and make them clean up.
Yeah.
They've gotten a free pass, and so we've got mercury and global warming and sulfur dioxide and all the bad things that come from those plants.
So when does it just start raining and our flesh burns? How many years before that?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of this is like it's like a slow boil, you know, like cooking, lobster or crab. You don't notice it on any given day, right?
Unless you go to the beach and you're, like, sunburned in 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or three minutes.
There's a good example. But
that's new, though, because I remember when I was a kid, it took you at least an hour or two to get sunburned. Literally, if you're out for 10 minutes, you have blisters.
Yeah. Now, that actually has gotten to be more of a problem. And even now, global climate change people are seeing in places like Alaska where, you know, the tundra is starting to melt slowly. So it does creep up on you, but the Bush administration hopes that people aren't thinking about tomorrow, just concentrating on today, and that they don't notice what's going on. Let me give you just one more example because it's one of my favorites, and that's mountaintop mining.
Uh-huh.
In coal states, and particularly in West Virginia, it's basically legal to saw off the top of a mountain and dump it in a river until there's no sign of life yet. They do that to get at the coal underneath the mountain. There's other ways to get that coal, but this is the cheapest way, so that's what they do. So what does the coal industry say? There was a great quote in the paper the other day that said, one of the coal guys said, hey, you know, this used to be just another mountain, but now you can put a golf course up on it.
Oh, man, the arrogance and disgustingness of that. I just made that word up.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's kind of a know-nothing attitude, but they're, you know, they're going for everything they can get under the Bush administration. They know they've got a pretty much got a free pass.
Mm-hmm. Eric Schaefer, you worked with former EPA Administrator Christine Todd Whitman, did you?
I did.
Now, she,
I actually wasn't in her direct office, but I was at EPA when she was there.
When she was there.
Yeah.
It seemed as though, and this is from the outside, that there was kind of like a siege mentality at EPA at some point, with President Bush kind of going back on certain promises he had even made to her. Did you feel that when you were there?
Oh, yeah, completely. I think the most obvious and the most embarrassing situation was when Ms. Whitman went to Europe to announce that we were going to do something about global warming, because the president had made that a campaign promise. And the White House very publicly told her almost immediately afterwards, no, we're not. You know, we were just kidding. And that was a humiliating moment for EPA, and I was surprised she didn't resign when that happened.
Now, when you were within the agency there, and when you brought up all these objections and stuff, how were you treated?
Yeah, it just wasn't welcome. We would have briefings. We were bringing, I'll give you another example, we were bringing cases against these big factory farms where, you know, if you live next to 200,000 hogs, the air is really bad. We were pushing to get these.
You don't got to tell me I'm at the convention.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, I feel for you guys. Okay. But, you know, we were pushing to get those things monitored to find out what was making people sick, and we just got a kind of a stone-faced reaction, not really any chance to engage and have a debate about it. I don't know if you remember that Paul O'Neill in his book said they weren't really debating the issues.
Right.
It wasn't like you could get in there and have a fair fight on the facts. At least I never felt that way. We always felt like somebody at the White House was going to make the call. It didn't have much to do with the science or what EPA thought.
And they were sort of, they like to sort of bully people or sort of subtly coerce them into giving them the facts they wanted.
Oh, completely. The facts if the facts don't fit the message, they're either ignored or they're pounded into shape until they do.
All right, Eric, we're going to, you know, we come back with us after the break. I want to ask you exactly, you know, what these people think they're doing. I mean, what are they hedging their bets on that, you know, what if one day we wake up and we can't breathe? How are they going to respond to that? So can we talk about that when we come back?
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, right. Buddy, we'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions.
Great idea.
The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now having a great time. The Smiths are still stuck. Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather, Sirius 150 to 159.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Melvin A. Goodman, professor of international security at the National War College.
I don't think there's ever been a greater intelligence scandal than the one we're living through. This is, to me, worse than the intelligence failure at Pearl Harbor, worse than the intelligence failure with regard to not understanding the weakness of the Soviet Union. In some ways, it's worse than 9/11, which was indeed an intelligence failure in which 3,000 people died. But to take this country to war, to manipulate the Congress of the United States, to manipulate the American people, and it's still being done, even though David Kay made it clear that essentially every intelligence assessment of the CIA was wrong. Where I disagree with Mr. Kay is that he believes that George Bush was a victim of this intelligence, which I think really is somewhat naive and nonsensical on David Kay's part. Bush wasn't the victim of this intelligence. He was the one who manipulated this intelligence.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
scrape our names off the lockers, pull our drawings off the walls, put it all in the garbage, throw it away, throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Here we go. We're back with Eric Schaefer, the Director of Environmental Integrity Project, former Director of the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Regulatory Enforcement. Now, Eric, what I was going to ask you, let me just, it's 44 past the hour, by the way, and I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. Eric, what I want to know is, what are these guys thinking? What are these industries thinking? I mean, you know, what world are they living on? Is it just one of these, you know, cases of the ends justifies the means? It's all about money? Or are they sort of consciously trying to end the world?
Yeah, I know. That's a good one. I mean, definitely there's an end justifies the means philosophy at work. These guys care a lot about power. They're in charge now. They get a lot of financing.
You're talking about the lobbyists, the ex-lobbyists
in the Bush administration,
who are now in charge of writing the clean air regulation.
Basically running EPA. If the industry says no, EPA is not going to do anything these days. That's kind of how it works. And, you know, a lot of that is about short-term perspective, making as much money as you can as quick as possible. And then I think for the Bush people, they think, hey, if we're wrong about global climate and the planet starts boiling, we'll be long gone. And, you know, maybe nobody will remember, but that's tomorrow's problem. That's not
really. It's just baffling to me that, I mean, that is it. They're that it's that it's about their own mortality, that they just figure they'll be dead. What about the integrity of institutions that outlive humans? I just can't believe they have that. They're that short sighted. It's mind blowing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at some level, because there are some ideologues in the administration, they just may not believe it. They may not believe we have a serious problem, but. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, last week, the White House did finally put a report out saying, yeah, global climate is an issue, and pollution from power plants and automobiles is part of the problem. And
they said, the carbon dioxide thing.
Yeah,
right?
carbon dioxide. And they said it in a very kind of gingerly way, and they certainly didn't do any news announcement about it. But, you know, the science is pretty overwhelming.
Mm.
And again, I think they care about power today, making money today, and hope that tomorrow nobody's going to remember what they did.
Eric, we are here in New York City. And,
right.
Of course, in the immediate wake of September 11th, the EPA was telling people, at least some components in the EPA, was telling people, hey, there's nothing wrong with the air down around Ground Zero. We have since found out that is not, in fact, the case. How did that play out at the EPA?
Yeah, actually, you know, and I wasn't directly involved in that, but EPA initially said... It didn't quite say it's not a problem. EPA put out, a more cautious statement and suggested that there were some issues related to asbestos from the buildings that had come down and were being cleaned up. And as the press has reported, the White House edited that press release to sort of downplay the risks and make it sound as though it were fine. And, you know, the public's got to be able to trust what EPA says, and I think has for 25, 30 years. When you've got political people in the White House editing press releases, that's a real problem. I mean, I'd never seen that kind of thing before. And I started EPA under Bush's father. I was there in 1990. And I can tell you that just didn't happen then.
It's unbelievable. Maybe what they're thinking is, is that eventually with global warming and the polar ice caps start melting, is that they're really banking on evolution, that we'll all, within a few generations, develop gills and just be able to live underwater.
You know, that's actually not that far off. From some of the far-right think tanks, I have seen some papers coming out saying, hey, we can adapt.
Right, right. So what if it gets a little hot?
Right.
And so, people can buy beachfront property in right. You know, in Ohio.
In Montana, right.
Yeah.
We'll crank up the air conditioning and put houses on stilts, and it's going to be okay. It's very strange. And again, they're hoping... One thing they do that I think, I give them credit for, is Reagan thought the environment was basically just a stupid thing. He paid no attention to it. They thought it was just a crazy issue. Bush understands that people do care about it. So his administration puts George Bush out in national parks and forests hiking around in a plaid shirt.
On his bike, too.
His bike. And a lot of times he's carrying an axe. They should probably lose the axe.
Yeah,
good idea.
But they have him out in the environment in a pretty setting talking about good things that he's going to do one day, and they hope that that kind of gauzy, fuzzy image will distract people from the bad stuff they're doing. So they're very careful with their propaganda.
So how do they end up describing people who care about the environment as tree huggers? I mean, we've heard that word a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think, and some of this comes out of the you know, oil patch conservatives that Texas comes from, is at one level they do think environmentalists is sort of unhappy, malcontented cranks, and so they treat them that way. And then I think politically they've decided, look, the people that really care about the environment are never going to vote for us anyway. So, you know, enough with them. We're not going to pay any attention to them. And for the rest of the people, we'll just do these, plaid shirt photo ops with Bush talking nice about the environment, and that'll be enough.
Maybe they just think that the environment is overrated, and that really if you're in the right type of gated community, they can build a very nice environment for you.
Well, actually, that's what Bush has done.
Yes.
He's got a very nice ranch, and he's, no way is he going to live next to a refinery.
Yeah, well, wait till they cut the top off of Mount Rushmore.
Well, yeah, exactly, and all you get is the nose. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, Eric Shaver. It was certainly a pleasure, very informative, and great to talk to you.
Appreciate
it. Gentlemen, take care.
You take care. That's wild stuff.
It is wild.
And that just become Johnny Carson. That's wild stuff. So we'll be back in a second. What do we got coming up here? We got the liberal agenda. We've got our wrap up. We're still here, and we're still getting the funny looks. So
we're the loudest people on Talk Radio Row.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something to be. Hey, what's everyone looking at? Hey, all right, we'll be back in a second on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Planet check. Shell shocked about global warming.
We're seeing some real shifts in the oil industry from Shell and British Petroleum about the need to address global warming.
That's spokesman for the NRDC, John Koifman.
Nobody can be comfortable with continuing to pump the amounts of carbon dioxide pollution into the atmosphere that we are presently.
John Brown, president of BP Amoco, called for a 50% cut in carbon dioxide pollution over the next 50 years.
There are so many options available today to start reducing global warming emissions without hurting our economy and to continue to keep our jobs and our factories and our cities humming.
What are some of the solutions?
Everything from switching from coal to cleaner burning natural gas, increased energy efficiency, cleaner energy sources like wind and solar power.
BP, British Petroleum, has made a dramatic shift by changing their name to Beyond Petroleum.
That's a great step forward.
That's Planet Check.
The Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Welcome to Jen and Barry's Ice Cream. What flavor would you like, sir?
Hey there, I'll take a little of all 120 flavors, please.
That's, a lot to try, sir.
I got the car, I got the kids, and a hell of a long drive ahead.
Yeah,
who knows, I like chocolate, so maybe I'll like Super Mocha Fudge. Wrap it to go, kid. Time's a-wastin'.
There's a lot to sample, I'm serious. So this Labor Day weekend, surf around. You might just surprise yourself with something you never thought you'd like. Serious. Find your favorites.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi,
My name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Let's put this thing down. It's 53 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You've been listening to Air America Radio, the morning sedition program. Oh, look who just stopped by. I just wanted to remind people that tonight is the Great American Shout-Out. I want everyone in New York to stick their head out their window and go, forget about it. Very effective. Forget about it. Forget about it. You guys are doing, what show is this? You guys are listening to Al Franken Network. I mean, Air America. Donuts. I got it. Put on a Grateful Dead. I got a donut. Thank you, Al. Thank you for stopping. Forget about it.
oh boy.
You know, that tonight is the Great American Shout Out, and please play along. If you'd like, Mr. Franken has been promoting that for the last couple weeks. He had a press conference, and tonight's the night. I guess what is it, right after Bush is done or right before he starts? Right before he starts. We give the big forget about it. I will be sleeping. So
will I.
So forget about it, Al. I'm gonna be sleeping. But whoever's up, I'll be watching it on tape. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe it'll have an impact. And what are we talking about now? Where are we at? What's going on?
We're
Mark
almost
Riley?
Finished with our coverage of the Republican National Convention live from Madison Square Garden. That's where we're at.
Yeah, tonight is George Bush is obviously the great imposter and fraudulent president, the bully juice master.
Who do they have leading up to him? Are there five more Baptist choirs from Harlem?
Well, they're trying to get Jesus, but okay. Apparently he's not back.
No Will Smith? I guess he must be filming somewhere.
I don't know.
Oh, Governor George Pataki of New York.
That's right. No, I have that all listed, but I was
that model of rectitude and moderation.
I've somehow detached a bit all of a sudden. Let me get back in it. Tomorrow, though, Ron Suskind, the author of The Price of Loyalty, will be with us on the phone. He was the White House. And the Bush administration. Okay, here we go. Ron Suskind, author of The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, The White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill. Great book. Yoshi Tsarumi,
who was
a professor at Harvard Business School, will grade George Bush's performance. He's appeared on the Majority Report, and he's going to be with us tomorrow. He was actually Bush's professor. The professor actually remembers a young George Bush as being a hopeless student. He's like just sitting in the back of the room with his flight jacket on, chewing gum, spitting tobacco.
I used to do that.
You used to chew tobacco?
I used to sit in the back of the room.
Yeah, I'd sit in the back of the room. I was a smartass, and look what that said. Yielded me. But anyways, we've had a great time here, actually. I don't know why.
It's been big fun.
It's been, it was fun being like sort of the weird kind of kid on the block. Like everyone looked at us like we didn't have a right to be here. Where actually, you know, you're a New Yorker. You know, I've lived here for years. Who doesn't have the right to be here, really?
Hey, listen, when I first moved to Connecticut
Everyone's
as a small
right.
child, everybody looked at me like that. I was one of two black families in the whole town.
Yeah, and I too was looked at that, but for completely different reasons. I was just a little uncomfortable.
You were just nuts. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's the liberal agenda. I kind of bumbled my way through this last segment, but here's your liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. Why don't you write these down? One, last day of convention, reset volume level from hectoring to shrill. Two, blast Dick Cheney for his unfair attacks on John Kerry and for taking the fun out of being a lesbian. Three, riot during Bush's speech. First, make appointment with police. Nothing too violent, of course. And if we could wrap it up before one, that would be great, because that's when Starbucks closes. Four, to show our outrage against this sham of a convention, today will be a day without sodium. None. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. McCain is a douchebag, Cheney is an even bigger douchebag, and Bush is the king douchebag.
Yes, yes, yes.
There you go.
I see
there
a guy from Tennessee heading
over. Oh, my God. G. Gordon Liddy is coming over here. Oh, my God. Ow! Hey, what the? Hey, ow! Riley!
Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Edition, President Bush accepts the nomination of his party, will grade his speech with help from a man who's already graded him, President Bush's former professor from Harvard. All that and more tomorrow on Air America Radio. See you, Marin.